on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I've had bugs before, but this one, after the first week, I said, this is really getting old. And I had my pajamas on for 10 days.
Well, I was a little worried. Did you get your flu shot?
Yeah, I had flu shot, pneumonia, and COVID.
We've had RSV, COVID, flu, you name it. And the best trained medical minds that we can find all sort of seem to think, yeah, we're not sure, but most people say it lasts for about two weeks.
Yeah, so buckle up if you start getting a little scratchy throat. And my voice is not back completely, but last week I didn't have one, so... Thank you all for hanging in there when we weren't able to make it in here. And
yes, a huge round of applause to Julian, our producer, for putting together the best of shows in a manner that we really appreciated.
Yes, a great Halloween show.
Oh, that Halloween stuff was so cool.
Oh, you did such a good job with our Richard Crowe interviews.
And last week, with the time change, you had me thinking, wait a minute, are we live on the air? I'm not sure what's going on here.
They should pay me to do this professionally.
Yeah, really. You should try that. I was actually happy not to be here for the time change. I'm just funny like that. I'm like, okay, when I get to 2 o'clock, I'm ready to walk out the door. But when 2 o'clock becomes 1 o'clock again, I'm like, nah. And, of course, for the next month, I use the time change for every excuse in my world, you know.
And I've told the story before, but I always remember anytime there's the time change. Back in the days of my rock and roll youth, when I was working in various places around the land.
Bars.
Yeah. And the guy would say, during the time change, he would say, well, you know, we don't have to pay you extra because, you know, when we spring forward, you'll be here.
We were
never working that same place.
They never called you back.
And that was one of the many reasons that I joined the Musician Union, because the Musician Union didn't play that. They said, no, sorry.
Well, let me tell you, it was tough also being a waitress during those times when you're like, what do you mean? It works out in the long run. Job security? Is that what you're telling me? I'll be here in the springtime.
Yeah. Define long run.
Yes. But we got a big show tonight. We got a full show.
In just a little bit, we are going to be checking in with Mike Jensen about what looks like it's going to be anywhere from nothing to 15 inches of snow forecast.
Take your pick.
Really?
Then a little later, we're going to get an update on the ice age that Chicago is currently living through. We'll talk with Monica Ng from Axios. And then a return visit from Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lukowski.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific performers. And, they're going to be playing live in the studio tonight.
Yep. And it's Tech Night. It's Patrick Crispin's night. It's been a month since we've caught up with him. And there's a whole lot of ground to cover with Patrick. And as we always say, if you get to that point after midnight and Patrick joins us and you go, this is too much for me to take in, we always have the show notes that we post.
Patrick, don't worry about it.
He's great about putting together these wonderful show notes. And then in a couple of days, you can go to our Facebook page and our blog, and it'll all be there.
But as we run through the round robin of the assembled multitude, playing the part of Bob Fukuda tonight is Brett Jackson.
Hey, Brett. How are you guys tonight?
Good
to see you again.
You too, because you're a day guy now. We never see you in the evenings.
Most of the time I am gone. I'm here a little bit earlier on Saturday, so it's been a while since I've been here this late.
Well, are you liking this shift where you get to drive in traffic to come to work and go home in traffic?
It's funny because the earliest I am in are Mondays and Fridays. And you would think like Monday, but for whatever reason, Monday mornings are not bad at all. And going home at 6 o'clock is like, I'm home most of the time. And I live, about 35 miles away. Mm-hmm. So normally it's about a 45 minute commute.
Sure.
Leaving at 6 o'clock on Mondays, I'm home a lot of times by 7 o'clock. And actually Tuesdays tend to be way heavier. My theory is that from COVID, everyone worked from home, and then you know, they decided, okay, we can't have everybody. We need people in, you know, at some point. But you got to do like 3 days a week. So,
they all said Tuesday.
I think they all work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in office, and I think they work Mondays and Fridays from home.
I think you're
right. So I don't – it is a very odd – but no, I don't – it's not great driving in it, especially when you were used to never having really any traffic. But I've gotten so used to it now that it's just kind of whatever.
The best part of working all night was going home and just waving to people going in the opposite direction. Yeah. You know, we'd
Everybody's
be going home.
Coming in for morning rush hour
we're
and
like,
we're heading the other way.
Suckers.
I am always surprised, though, leaving here at like 4 a.m. and driving home. You think you get this weird kind of like, well, I'm the only person that's up right now and is going anywhere. And then you get on the highway and you're like, oh, no, there's a normal amount of, you know, it's not traffic or anything, but there's far more people than you expect to be driving at 4 a.m. on a, you know, Monday morning or whatever it is.
The worst I ever recall was back when Johnny and I were just dating, and we were both working at WIND, and I was doing the midday show from 10 until 2. Getting off at 2, leaving about 3, and oh boy, at that point, I was living in Bolingbrook. It could be a 2.5 hour drive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in a snowy winter day from here to Bolingbrook.
Doing the all-night show for years, we watched from the 80s people waking up and starting their day at 5 in the morning. And in the 90s, it got a little earlier. And by the time we started into the new century, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, you could just...
That's when morning rush hour started.
It was amazing the change that occurred.
It is. It's a really... Like, you think you get the traffic patterns pretty figured out, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, they just change up on you, and then you find yourself expecting to sit in traffic, and you don't, and then you, like, you know, one of the, actually, probably the worst time is, like, summer Saturday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
It was by far one of the worst, like, if you got to be down here at, you know, anywhere from 1 to 4, like, you know, that might take you an hour and 50 minutes, and it's... You know, you're like, what is everybody doing?
Where are they going?
Where are we all going? And you're always trying to figure out, is it a concert? Is it something at Navy Pier?
What do they know? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Or is it? And then you're just.
That I will never forget. It was a Saturday afternoon wedding that we were going to.
Oh, gosh.
And
that was the traffic maven.
Johnny was the traffic maven. We got to the wedding, and people are yelling at Johnny, why didn't you warn us the traffic was going to be this bad?
What? I was supposed to personally call all you people and tell you there was construction and things were... It was Chuck Swirsky's wedding.
Yeah, it was.
And so the entire station was there for the wedding. Did you see Chuck Swirsky actually got to give the Pope a Bulls jersey?
Yeah. How cool was that?
Yeah, I know. I think he was levitating when he was in the presence of the Pope.
I heard a little clip of him talking about it.
Did
he
you?
Seemed pretty,
you
know, overwhelmed by the idea that he was. And he had made a comment that the Bulls had allowed him to go, but it almost seemed like he was planning to go anyways, and it just kind of happened to be that the Pope was from Chicago.
Well, yeah, and it's very huge, too, because he's open about the fact that he's a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a really big deal. He's a cool guy. We've known him since he was just a groundhog.
Right? My first introduction to Chuck Swirsky, this is back before we started working here. He was working with Bob Collins in the afternoon, and Bob was doing this thing about new records, and Chuck brought this Boy George.
And Bob was going,
Collins
what?
Said, what?
Who?
And it was Karma Chameleon. And
And it turned out he loved it, too.
Yeah,
it was a good song.
Yeah, it was a really good song.
It is funny. He used to live out in Wheaton, and every once in a while I'd be, you know, driving around downtown Wheaton or whatever, and I would look, and then there he would just be walking across. And you're like, oh, there's Chuck Swirsky.
He's a rock star
because
now.
He's very recognizable. He isn't you know, but you just would look up, and you're like, oh, Chuck's going to Starbucks. All right.
Well, I said he was. We knew him back in the days when he was just a groundhog at this radio station because every groundhog day, Bob Collins would send him out to see if we saw his shadow. So Chuck would.
If Swirsky saw his shadow on Michigan Avenue,
who needed Punxsutawney when you had the Swirsk and you could just send him out on Pioneer Court and we would wait. And he would. It was a great sport. He'd stand out there and say, I'm not seeing anything. Well, we hope that you guys will stick around with us tonight because we got a lot of fun stuff. A lot of catching up to do from the past few weeks.
You had a girl's day out this weekend.
I did. Yes, I did. On Thursday. Gorgeous day on Thursday. Just the sky was blue. It was a wonderful trip on Lakeshore Drive getting into downtown Chicago.
And you're feeling a little better.
I was feeling better. Yeah, I was out of my PJs finally after a couple of weeks. And my girlfriend Sue and I decided to come downtown to Marshall Fields because there's been so much buzz about Marshall. Listen to me calling it Marshall Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Macy's, because Macy's is doing a salute to Marshall Fields this year.
And they have renamed the Walnut Room the Marshall Fields
Walnut Room. And so I thought, well, we're just going to go down there and check it out. So when we got there, we were tickled because the windows have been decorated, and the windows, they're beautiful. Pictures don't do them justice. I'm saying this because I have posted pictures. Everything in the windows is paper. They found paper artists from Budapest,
mm-hmm.
and they did, I guess you would call them dioramas of scenes from the store when it was Marshall Fields in paper. And Uncle Mistletoe is in every window. You can find him nestled in that corner or over in this corner. And the windows actually move. Things move. And again, they're paper. So we thought that was really cool. Took some pictures, enjoyed being outside in the crisp November air. And the doors opened at 10 o'clock, and we walk in, and that green carpet is ahead of you, and twinkling white lights, warm lights, not those icky blue-gray LED lights.
Right.
And we said, well, this is cool. So we started in the basement and decided we would walk every floor, and we did. And when we ended up on the seventh floor, that's the floor where the Walnut Room is, and that's where a lot of the activity was going, because the rest of the store seemed kind of empty in a wonderful way, because it would, if you were going to do some serious shopping, that's the time to do it. On the seventh floor, people were lined up because they had reservations, and we didn't, but we got lucky, and they had room for two. So we were right in there for lunch. We didn't get to sit right under the tree. That was okay. But had a delightful meal. The menu is the menu that you remember from the Marshall Fields Walnut mm-hmm. Room. Everything from the chicken pot pie to the adult eggnog, which was really yummy. Just a weird little quinky dink. When we paid, I used a gift card and some cash as well as the exact change. And I was given my change back because the Walnut Room does not deal in coinage. No coins. I'm like, now the waitress had already received her tip, so she says, that's okay. I got you covered for the 36 cents. Gave me my 36 cents back. I thought, what? That was really weird. But the point of all this is to say it's worth a trip. If you have memories of the Marshall Fields Walnut Room, you need to go down to Macy's on State Street, check it out, look at the windows. In the meantime, you can go to our blog or on our Facebook page. I've posted a link to our blog where I have posted the pictures of the moment we walked up, the windows, inside the store, up to the seventh floor, into the Walnut Room, the big tree, all that good stuff. So
on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, Johnny has posted a link. You click on the link, and that will take you to our blog, where you will see all the pictures that Johnny took,
mm-hmm.
and she has posted along with some of the descriptions of what was going on. It was really, you guys had way too much fun.
We were there for 4 hours and foolishly did not use one of the parking apps because we were misled by what was on the Macy's website where it says you can validate your parking if you park in this particular lot. Well, the validation takes $5 off of your 4 hour parking, which was $63.
Oh, my.
For four hours.
No. But you saved 36 cents. You got to remember
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Ron. You're absolutely right.
You have to deduct that.
Well, check it out. The link is on our Facebook page. Unless you follow our blog, you can go directly to our blog and read all about it.
So, as we were driving in tonight, as we mentioned, it was kind of a patent leather streets. It was just starting to rain, and now we're getting reports from various places.
Yes, McHenry checking in to tell us it's snowing Quad City says it's snowing like crazy out here in the Quad Cities. Northwest Illinois telling us it's snowing up their way, too.
And we've been hearing reports from various sources saying it could be nothing, it could be 15 inches. So we thought, okay, let's go to the source, the man who plans all this out.
Yes.
He is solely responsible.
Oh, stop.
For whatever it is that is going to happen. That is your Mike Jensen. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I think you guys have the wrong number if you're saying I'm solely responsible for any
right.
of this.
I'm looking at him like, really? He's got that kind of power.
He was about 2 seconds away from me turning off my microphone and running.
So this is our first, right? The first of the season.
This is the first. I'm looking at our WeatherBug camera, live look at what's happening downtown Woodstock right now. It is snowing. It's not real heavy. Mm-hmm. And it's not accumulating. It doesn't look like on the grass or the pavement. But cars that are sitting there around the town square do have a little snow on their rooftops and on mm-hmm. their hoods and stuff like that. But, yeah, this is just the appetizer. We are transitioning from rain to snow across the region. This will continue through tonight. Minor accumulations, if any, in some spots. And I think especially northwest of the city, we could be looking at, you know, an inch or two is going to be possible, especially you get through McHenry County and places like that. But then tomorrow night, we could be looking to kind of quote one of my colleagues over at the National Weather Service, who has been at the National Weather Service for 25 years and was doing a little write-up. And in his write-up saying his thoughts on it, had not seen in his 25 years of doing this a setup that could be quite like what we are looking at in terms of lake effect snow potential here. As he said, to quote him, it has the potential to be high-end / extreme lake effect snow, especially in northeastern Illinois. I mean, you have some of this maybe in northwest Indiana quite often with the snow belt, but on this side of the lake, we could be looking at crippling snowfall rates of greater than 3 inches per hour, accompanied by thunder and lightning tomorrow night into Monday morning. So the numbers, you know, it all depends on, and we know how fickle that lake effect snow can be.
Yeah.
If it ends up being one band where you have it moving, if it's progressive, it drops some snow here and there, and then so often we watch it pass on through Illinois, and then it gets over in northwest Indiana, and then it sits over there, right? If it were to linger in a spot, say, even in our side of the lake, on, say, in Illinois, in Chicago, you could have several inches of accumulation there, and it is not completely out of the realm of possibilities here that you may have a foot and a half somewhere, maybe getting 2 feet, if it were to have one band that's set up in one spot and just dumped. Is it, you know, could it be in Chicago? Could it be over into Lake and Porter County, Indiana? Could it be, you know, points farther to the east? It's just, I know I hate saying it because it's maybe a little bit over 24 hours from now when this may get kicked off. It's still too soon to say, you know, because you really want to nail something like this down. And then you throw in 35 mile per hour winds, and blowing and drifting could be a problem as well. And, you know, what we're looking at here tonight, I mean, temperature is going to maybe drop to the freezing mark. So it's more of that slushier kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But tomorrow night, we're going to drop those temperatures down into the mid-20s. And so it's that it's going to be a fluffier snow. And so that's when we can start, you know, stacking things up pretty well. And again, I showed some, you know, at 9 o'clock, we're streaming our newscast tonight. I did put out some numbers and just said, look, this particular model does put 10 inches in downtown Chicago. I said, but we're not going to get married to this number. I'm just showing you what, you know, the computer model spit out is the potential there. And so that's just something we're going to have to watch. So
wait a minute. So you said a one with a zero behind it, inches possible in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere in the region. Yeah. I'm not saying in Chicago, and that's why I would tell you, we don't get married to these numbers in the exact location.
Well, are we talking about this being a winter storm watch?
It already is. So a winter storm watch right now
is
scheduled to go into effect at midnight tomorrow night. Not tonight, tomorrow night, right? So, but we can't sit on a winter storm watch forever. It either will have to be changed to an advisory. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, upgraded to a warning of some sort, or, you know, you can just throw them out because, oh, everything's changed. We're not going to get anything. So we're not going to sit on this winter storm watch all the way through. So it could be upgraded tonight. It could be changed tonight. It could be, you know, changed tomorrow morning.
Right.
But we're, you're going to ramp things up. But some folks are sitting here going, oh, well, you know, it's going to snow a little tonight, and maybe we have some lake effect snow, a little bit mm-hmm. of it tomorrow. That's nothing. That's just kind
so
of a
really,
little thing.
We have time to go out and get milk and bread. We need to do
that.
We need
important
to clear
thing.
The shelves sure, of milk and bread
sure.
just in case.
Go do. Now, here's the thing about how crazy this could be. Mm-hmm. As I sat down and made my forecast today, and seeing us being, you know, mid-30s for highs tomorrow, dropping into the mid-20s overnight with wind chills by Monday morning that for some of us could be in the single digits, by the time we get to a week from now, we may be looking at highs back in the lower 60s.
Wow.
Okay, fine.
And every day like that in November is a gift.
Yeah.
It is.
Really
so then I don't know what you would call Sunday night into Monday then. A kick in the pants, I guess. I don't
right.
know.
A kick in the head.
But yeah. Actually, they do have now in Rockford, it looks like maybe an inch of snow on a few cars in a parking lot up there. But not necessarily, you know, on the ground. So again, the ground is so warm that what we're seeing here tonight is not going to add up to much. But it's just one of those things that be prepared because Monday morning could be
a character builder.
Yeah, yeah, or you know, yeah. some you know, an opportunity to use vocabulary that you wouldn't use in church.
That's
I'm guessing
right.
You're
yeah,
somewhere,
but
so.
You can go to church on Sunday because it's not going to be that bad. We're
no.
going to get ready. We're going to get the salt. Yeah. We're going to get the milk and bread, and be sure that your shovel is handy just
yeah.
in case.
There you go.
All right. Before we let you go, I've been hearing a term when people meteorologists talk about the weather for this season. They're using a term. Blob, B-L-O-B.
Oh, out over the Pacific?
Yeah. I'd never heard that as a technical meteorological term,
what does
a blob.
It mean?
Well, I think what you're talking about this area in the Pacific Ocean that's just basically like a blob of warmer water.
The warmer Pacific
yeah.
water is going to impact us this winter, making it colder, maybe snowier, all because of the blob. And I said, can't we come up with better words at this point?
Sometimes you just describe what you see, and that's
well, okay.
the way to go about it, right? If you look at a sea surface map and everything else, if they color code it by coolest yep. to warmest, and you have one area that's you know much warmer than the rest, it just like a,
looks
like a blob,
like a blob
on the screen, right?
Okay, good point. Yeah,
sometimes
I buy that.
And that's a technical term.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I like to keep it simple. I use the KISS method. So.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And again, we're getting rain here. We can still
yes.
see rain because
yeah.
we've got 40 degrees. But we're getting text in from Richmond, Wisconsin just checked in and said, hey, it's snowing up here. A bunch of people in Northwest Illinois are checking in to say
yeah,
as
but
well.
But again, the bottom line is tonight ain't the big deal.
No.
The big deal starts
tomorrow
night into
yeah.
Monday.
Yeah.
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 You could be awakened to the sound of thunder tomorrow
wow.
night, and it'll be in the, you know, 20s maybe, 30s,
so
depending on what time.
What's the meteorological term for thunder and lightning during snow?
Thunder snow.
Duh.
and just like you would see with thunderstorms, it's heavier, you know, heavier precipitation rates is what you're looking at there, right? Just like if you compare the rainfall rates from a thunderstorm compared to just a shower, right?
Okay.
You know, a difference there. So it could get a little interesting.
Well, the good news is you've given me a reason to cancel my Monday dental appointment.
Well, okay.
He was looking for an excuse,
so your work here is done.
Yeah, you can't go golfing either, so that's just the way things are going to be.
Well, thanks a bunch, Mike Jensen. We appreciate it. And folks can follow Mike at WGN-TV. You can see him there every weekend.
In fact, Mike, blatant plug, if people want to follow the WGN streaming, where do they go? What do they do?
You can actually stream us online at WGNTV.com, but also the WGN Plus app. You know, your different Roku and Fire mm-hmm. Sticks and smart TVs, you just download the app. It's free, and then you can just stream along.
Cool. All yeah. right. Well, be safe. Thank you.
You do the same. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Wow.
Our face when he...
Because
you know, both of our jaws dropped.
I had heard that, you know, maybe 1 to 15, but when Mike...
When, 10 inches?
This is for real.
What? And when I read that earlier in the week, I actually made a note. Ask about that. And sure enough.
Ask about the blob.
Ask about the blob. Chicago could face its coldest, snowiest winter in years due to this rare ocean phenomenon called the blob. And I love Mike's reaction. Well, you look at it. What does it look like? It looks like a blob. That's what you call it.
Julian, help me. It was a theme song from a movie that was called The Blob. And I believe it was somebody who went on to do a whole lot of major musical stuff that did that. Can you see any of the credits for the artists or writers or anything?
Yes. The studio session vocalist, Bernie Nee, was known as The Five Blobs.
Okay.
And this was the title theme from the now classic sci-fi thriller, which starred a young Steve McQueen.
And the blob, yeah. I was thinking James Arness, but that was another one of those.
That was James Arness. I think was the thing.
Okay,
I think.
Yeah,
I think.
I think it was the thing. Okay, because we have a busy, busy show tonight, I want to sneak in some shout outs.
Do you want me to start with some of the blog?
Yeah. But first, let's go shout. Shout.
Knock yourself out. Shout, shout.
Yeah, okay.
Shout.
You know you make me want to shout. Shout. Let it all out.
Okay.
Shout out to some of the people checking out our blog. We're on our blog. You can see Johnny's post about the Walnut Room. But the blog countries... For this past week, the United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Canada, Poland, Ireland, Sweden, Portugal, the Philippines, and France.
Wow. I think that's a first for France.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And again, I thank all of you that are checking in to tell us that it's snowing in your neck of the woods, like in Richmond, Wisconsin, in the Quad Cities, in McHenry. Let's see here. Dean is listening in Indy. Susan Powell's in Memphis. Tom Havel tuned in tonight. Linda Moeller is in the Oklahoma Panhandle tuning in. Norm Rosansky is listening. Janet Gellert. Janet is a transplanted Chicagoan living in Gainesville, Florida, and gave me the nicest compliment. She downloaded one of the pictures I took of the Drake from our trip down Lakeshore Drive and framed it to remind her of her days in Chicago.
Well, how nice.
Yeah. So thank you, Janet. That's a really, really, that's a great compliment. David Shine, our SEN alumni, is in Mount Prospects. Sherry Hanrahan is listening in Romeoville. Jim is in Richmond. Bonnie and George are out in Elgin. And George has great memories of the Swirsk. He said one of his favorite memories is bowling with the Swirsk.
Oh, yeah.
What a day.
That was a Saturday afternoon.
Was it
out in Hillside? Where was it?
No, Northwest.
Northbrook. Somewhere around Northbrook,
That's when we learned that you don't call them bowling alleys.
They are bowling lanes.
Yes. They had changed from being alleys. We were reprimanded all the time. When you talk about the outing, don't call it bowling alleys. That's not what it is. But, George, that was a great memory, bowling with the Swirsk. Mike Ski is listening in Elmwood Park. Mike is in Akron, Ohio. Stacy Drager out in Algonquin. Hi, Stacy. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Bing Besh is in Winfield. Beverly Goodall tuned in tonight. Robert Patterson is in McHenry. That's where it's snowing. JW and Dolly Mink are in Roanoke, Virginia, listening in tonight. And Scott is in Pierre, South Dakota. Also, our good buddy Chuck Snitchler is listening in Hobart, Indiana, listening on his Amazon Echo. Jim Eaton, James, the plant authority from Waukegan, will be enjoying the broadcast tonight. Thank you. And he wanted to give us...
By the way, I would assume take all your plants in?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. I haven't covered our roses yet.
But we did take in the two hibiscus.
We did take in the two big guys. Julian Jim Eaton gives you a special shout out. You are a class act. And in fact, Bonnie and George made a point of saying they actually thought the show was live because it was put together so nicely by Julian.
Well, thank you.
Your cousin Ed is listening in tonight.
He says, Ed.
This is Ed Carroll, Ursula's other half, listening to the show.
Hey, Ed.
Laura Miller is tuned in and sends us a cute picture of her dog Cotton that we give a shout out every week from Willowbrook. Peter Jokubowicz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Lynn Kinzer tuned in from San Antonio, Florida, where they're getting ready for a cold spell of freezing.
Oh, it's going to be nasty.
Yeah.
We've been seeing some weather reports from the panhandle of Florida, and they ain't ready for what's going to happen down there.
They have a very special weather warning. Iguanas falling from the heavens.
True.
Iguanas.
Because apparently, when it gets colder than 40 degrees,
they freeze.
Iguanas freeze and fall out of the trees. Now, they're not dead, but they just fall and they freeze till it gets warmer, and then they scoot away.
Okay. One falls on me, I'm dead. Okay?
The iguana may be alive, but
I'm dead.
You're dead.
Right.
Okay.
Bill D. is listening in Munster. Jonathan is listening from Champaign. Carol Worth is listening in Ingleside. Nancy Kirschheimer Hollins. Thanks, Nancy, for tuning in. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia. Barb Jagiello. Sorry, Barb. She's in Northlake listening on her transistor radio. In Denton, Texas, you'll find Rita Reagy and Janice Kiritobi is on the northwest side of Chicago. Peter Lawrence is tuned in. Christian? Yes, Christian with a K. Moberg tuned in. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Elizabeth Holland is in Naperville. Roger Camp in Shade, Ohio. Carol Bassett is in Aurora. Yippee, she writes. Scott Cooper is listening in from Naperville. So we got the Fox Valley covered because our buddy Bobby Nanos is out in Sandwich listening in. Vicki Snelson is tuned in. Bob Baker is at the Dairy Barn milking and cleaning pens till 5:30 in the morning. That's how he used to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of farmers that were listening, milking the cows. Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte, Florida. Mary Atkinson, Brian Lefevre, Mary Gold, and her hubby, Sally Green, Judy B., Jan Reinhardt in the laboratory, Sharon Malone in Caton, Carrie Johnson, Joe Bonadonna, Nancy Witt, and if I didn't get to you, I apologize, but I'll get to next week, so you better be here.
By the way, speaking of farmers listening to us,
yes,
a lot of confusion over the Farmer's Almanac and the
Old Farmer's Almanac, which will still be around.
The Old Farmer's Almanac will still be around. The Farmer's Almanac is publishing its last edition for 26, and that's it.
And people still do use the almanac.
Oh, yeah.
For planting your garden. You don't have to have a farm. You can use it for garden planting.
Each Saturday night when we come in here, we do our best to provide a kind of a safe haven from a lot of the stuff that we're all dealing with these days. But every now and then, we have to pay attention to some of the stuff, and this has been a week of headlines and frustration and ICE stories and judicial orders and appeals, and are they paying attention to any of the judicial orders? And one of the people who has done a superb job of covering all of these stories is Monica Ng. You can read her at Axios Chicago. And Monica, you have had quite a week, haven't you?
I sure have. I wish the news would slow down sometimes.
Yeah, really. When we look back over this past week locally, would you say that one of our biggest stories was the Wednesday incident where the daycare worker was taken from the daycare on the north side of Chicago? Was that one of the really big stories that kind of, I think if anybody was sleeping up until that point, they went, whoa, what just happened? Would you agree?
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, I got a text from someone around 8 a.m. and I said, I need to check it out before I can do anything. So while I was walking the dog, I called the daycare center and they answered immediately. And I said, I've seen a video that seems to show federal agents opening the door to Raita De Sol, your school, is that true? And this woman was shaken, and she said, yes, they came in here around 7:15 this morning. They took a teacher in front of the kids, and they pulled her out screaming. And I said, can I please have your name? Can I confirm this? Can I talk to your supervisor? And they said that there'd be a press conference at 1, so I immediately went and, you know, they gave me permission to use the video. I still didn't have permission to use the one with the woman's face, and so later we blurred that out. But it was just shocking because it had crossed a new frontier. I mean, churches, hospitals, schools had been sacred places. And once I confirmed that it actually entered a school where kids were already in there and taken the teacher out, that was a new border that had been crossed.
And the woman is Diana Galliano. As I understand it, she has been moved to Indiana. Is that correct?
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that there will be some sort of hearing for her on Wednesday, the 13th. Wednesday, the 13th. And the DHS says that that she did not obey orders to stop when they were following mm-hmm. in her car. And they claim that she'd crossed the border illegally, but that she was working with permitted papers that they consider not real papers, because they said it was a Biden-era rule. And mm-hmm. they believe that Biden-era laws were what they call a loophole.
Uh-huh.
And so they didn't believe that she should have been given legal papers to work. But she was, and I'm not sure you can say that the previous president's laws were unlawful unless you change them. They also claim that she paid a smuggler to bring one of her children here, again, presenting mm-hmm. no evidence.
Mm-hmm. A teenager, I believe.
It's rattling to people. Yes, correct.
And you say presenting no evidence. That seems to be one of the constants with a lot of the allegations coming from ICE. They will allege something and, well, where's the evidence? No comment, no comment, no comment.
Yeah, when I was, sitting for hours and hours in Judge Sarah Ellis's courtroom, she talked about all these videos she had seen. And she said, these videos are making me think that you, Commander Gregory Bovino, are not following my temporary restraining order. And, she said, if you guys had followed my rule of wearing body cameras yourself, you would be able to present counter evidence. Mm-hmm. And so, I think people, I included, are asking them, when you make an assertion, I would love to see some evidence, because what I'm seeing is a lot of evidence on the other side, and you're not presenting any of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And this was also a week that we had a warning from the FBI, basically a fake ICE warning, saying that there are numerous incidents of occasions where someone wearing a mask claiming to be ICE, and no, not at all, but because they wear masks and they don't show identification, how the heck do you know?
That's a fantastic question. I've been going back and forth with the Department of Homeland Security to simply tell me, I have a very basic question, because Judge Sarah Ellis's order requires these agents to conspicuously display their ID numbers, I asked DHS, can you tell me how many digits are in that ID number? Mm-hmm. Are these unique identifiers? Is it a letter and then a number? I just want to know, because people could be out there with masks simply, pretending mm-hmm. they're ICE agents. What they said is, we're not going to give Antifa the ability to dox us. So basically, we don't even have to tell you how many digits.
Interesting reaction.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I mean, if they believe that they're acting in accordance with the law, with the Constitution, then why should they be at all hesitant about telling me just how many digits are in the number?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone were looking for it, they would know, oh, it's 5 digits and I need to write that down. It's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their position is, you have to give us all the information, we don't have to give you any.
Right. I mean, and I should say that, 8 times out of 10 when I do ask them a question, they do respond. Sometimes it's just the same allegations they've made over and over again, that their brave agents are facing, lots and lots of attacks from people, and that they're only getting, murders and rapists, and they send that every time. But that's belied by their own figures, which show that 72% of the people that are detained at this point have no criminal conviction. And that's just their numbers. I mean, we're not even able to check those, but those are the ones they're presenting.
Mm-hmm.
But when I ask for basic things like, do you believe the Fourth Amendment stands in Chicago, or do you believe that we are in the 100-mile zone, and you don't have to show a warrant before searching or entering a home. I'll ask that 100 times, and I don't get an answer. The same thing. Can you please just help me understand what these alphanumeric codes look like? Because I was in court when Commander Greg Bovino said he would make sure they were conspicuously displayed. If we don't understand what conspicuous number we're looking for, it's really hard to, you know, create a path for any accountability.
But again, as you said, the reaction was we are protecting our agents from being doxed, outed, if you will, by Antifa. Yeah. So there's a lot of rumbling about how the agents have been in these precarious positions. I know you had a very busy day today, but I'm sure you heard the story of apparently attempted shooting on the south side of ICE agent or agents.
I definitely heard that. I definitely heard that the Department of Homeland Security is alleging that when the Chicago Police Department got there, they were not able to find any evidence of anyone or anything that was shot. And so, you know, I would feel more comfortable reporting that with some sort of corroboration or, you know, oh, and a bullet hit this thing or this person. Right. And, you know, I'll just be honest, when I am an eyewitness at these events and then I get the Department of Homeland Security version of the events, they don't often match up when I see, you know, a couple of jerks who are screaming, you know, mean things and, you know, and I didn't say even throwing things, but mostly 98% really calm people, mostly elderly clergy and people in dinosaur costumes. When I see them described as violent terrorist rioters, I just have a hard time, just like the judge said, hard time reconciling what they say with what I see with my
own
eyes.
Saying. Yeah, yeah. Can you tell us anything new about the women that were arrested outside the Broadview facility yesterday?
I believe they were released fairly soon afterwards. And I was watching the video of it, and I believe I heard the officers say, "You are not being arrested. You are not being arrested." They zip-tied their hands. So at Broadview, in the last few weeks, they've created these barriers. So Beach Street is one of the main entrances. Mm-hmm. That's where the fence used to be, and then finally the feds had to take down the fence. But now there are barriers that separate the street from the grass and the sidewalk on that street. And the Illinois State Police and the Broadview Police ask you to stay on the sidewalk and not go in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched confrontations where protesters said, I'm going to go in the street, and they go in the street, and Illinois State Police say, "We will arrest you if you don't go on that side of the barricade, go on the sidewalk," and then people get taken away and arrested, and other people just go on the other side of the barricade and hold their signs over there. It seemed like, you know, a very concerted effort for these women who call themselves West Suburban soccer moms to go and sit down, and each was taken away, zip-tied, and taken away. You know, I should say fairly gently. They didn't resist. The officers explained what they were doing. It was Broadview Police for the most part. I think they wanted to make a statement, and they did. You know, when I've seen people be arrested for standing in the middle of the street, I wonder, is that really what you wanted to be arrested for? For, you know, by the Illinois, by local police for standing in the street, rather than maybe having the spotlight on, you know, the lack of transparency and lack of accountability inside that building for the people who are being held there. But that's their prerogative. Everybody has, you know, their way of expressing themselves on this issue.
Yeah, well, that seems like a little bit of a wasted effort. But speaking of the Broadview facility, isn't one of the judges scheduled to visit the Broadview facility early next week?
Yes, on the 13th, and it's interesting because I was in the courtroom for Robert Gettleman, who was, you know, we heard hours and hours of testimony of those who had been in there. Two of the people had been held there for 5 days, no beds, no toothbrush, no no place to take a shower. He said something very striking. He said, "Oh, so you have showers, but they don't work." That would remind some people of Auschwitz.
And weren't they given two sandwiches a day and one bottle of water?
Yeah, I mean, they said they were going to, one bottle of water with each sandwich. Mm-hmm. And there was a, a sort of a quibble, are they, were they Jimmy John's? Were they Subway? And Subway. I was like, really? This is what we're going to argue about? And, and just it lights on 24 hours a day. People are estimating 150 people in one room and, these open toilets that got clogged. They said they started using plastic bags to try to unclog them themselves. It sounded like pretty terrible conditions. And that's what got Judge Robert Gettleman to say, in his TRO, you gotta have some place for these people to lay down and sleep. You can't have a light on 24 hours a day. You've got to give them access to water beyond the one bottle you give them with each meal, and sometimes it's only two meals a day. And they need, constitutionally to have access to be able to talk to their lawyers in private, because mm-hmm. how can you have attorney-client privilege if you have to use a speakerphone and speak in front of an officer? So I guess this other judge will go and inspect on Thursday. The lawyers for the plaintiffs asked for a regular inspection, and that was denied. But it looks like at least a judge will go and try to see if any of these provisions are going to be complied with.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if why was that denied?
It was. As I watched these. Sometimes these judges can be portrayed as like real hard guys and like really mean, but it seems to me that they really go out of their way to say, I'm not trying to micromanage what the feds are doing. Mm-hmm. I am not trying to be overbearing. And they go out of their way to say, look, okay, you don't want me to do that? I won't do that. I'm not going to give the plaintiffs everything they want. And so, the plaintiffs weren't happy that the inspections weren't part of this, but it looks like another judge is making it part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the government, basically ICE, DHS said was, if we have to make more space for these people, if we've got to give them beds, it's going to freeze our operations, it's going to halt our operations, we're not going to be able to do our jobs. And, basically the judge said, you got to figure out a way to get this done. This place was not meant to keep people for 5 to 10 days. It was meant to keep people for 12 hours while they're being processed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become a de facto jail. It's become a de facto detention facility, and you just don't have the facilities for it.
And isn't there another question here? Are they, in fact, trying to do their stated job, or are they merely arresting as many bodies as they can and putting them in a holding facility?
Well, I mean, certainly the plaintiffs would say that they're just trying to pick up. I mean, that there were some promises that it would just be criminals, just be the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But some former ICE directors have said that they're also dismayed by what they're seeing, and they believe it was because these quotas. This 3,000 people a day quota has been put in place, and they said, these poor ICE officers are having a hard time filling those quotas, so they just got to grab everybody they see, drive around neighborhoods where they think they're going to see a landscaper or a construction worker, and then just apprehend people.
Yeah, a warm body.
And that's what they believe they're seeing.
So, where are we now? Has any, from your vantage point, has any progress been made on any front in all of this, or is everybody just kind of spinning their wheels and we're going to see more of the same with injunctions and people arrested and
more community chaos?
Yes. Yeah.
It's a fantastic question. A bunch of clergy and business leaders got together on Friday to plead with the government to please stop this, because they say it's really hurting business. The labor shortage and just the fear among people to come to work, they said it's really hurting business, and they hoped that Republican business people could appeal to him. But you're right. The stories I'm working on now are, can anyone protect us? Is anyone in Chicago safe from this? Because I'm following up with this case of this Lakeview homeowner just around the corner from me, whose house was invaded, who he said trespassing property damage. Someone was abducted on his property. The ICE agents came into his home, and he turned to the Chicago Police Department to file a police report. And he said he got nowhere. He said, if the Chicago Police can't help me when crimes happen on my property, whom do I turn to? And I'm trying to find someone for someone to turn to. I went to the state's attorney's office, and they said, look, we have really limited power. The governor said, look, in many ways, these agents have federal immunity. And if that's the sad news I have to deliver to Chicagoans, that's the sad news. But I just need to get a straight answer. Are we powerless if someone commits a crime in our home, commits a crime against us? And what I'm hearing is, well, if and when the Democrats take over Congress again, Representative Mike Quigley said, when we have the gavel again, we'll have all the evidence to bring people to justice. Mm-hmm. At this point, we don't have the gavel in the House of Representatives.
Thank you for asking questions. You do that every day, 7 days a week, and it's not easy. I know there are times you had a fun Saturday afternoon with your book, with the read and run, and you had a great turnout in Avalon Park.
Fantastic. I loved it.
And yeah. I'm sure, yeah, you need that. You need to be able to decompress from the news that you're covering 7 days a week.
I hope you know how much we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Monica. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Take care.
Take care. Right, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's Monica Ng. You can follow her on Axios.com. Do a search for Monica Ng, E-N-G. And... Wow.
She's asking the questions, the questions that we all have. We're getting texts and people asking the questions that she's asking the authorities.
Yeah. Let's turn our attention to Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lukowski.
Nikki O'Neill is in studio with us tonight.
Hello.
What a treat. The first time we met you and the last time you were in here, it was Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the record had just come out.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been a good summer.
It's been really good. We've been playing so many shows.
Yeah. You had days where you were doing afternoons and then evening shows.
Yeah, yeah. Some days it was two shows in a day or 2 days back to back.
And we should introduce your partner in crime.
Rich Lukowski. Hey, Rich.
Hi, and it's so nice to be here.
Nice to see you, too. Is family listening tonight?
Yeah.
They better be.
They might be.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Anniversaries.
Yeah, I mean, if my family is listening, my sister and brother-in-law have their anniversary tomorrow, so I want to wish them a happy anniversary, and my parents have their anniversary on Wednesday. So.
You don't have to buy gifts now. You came to the radio station and gave them a shout-out, you know. Well, again, it's such a busy summer. The album has done really well for you.
Yeah. It got a lot of great reviews.
Yes.
In the U.S. and also in Europe. Mm-hmm. There were blues magazines and roots music magazines that normally aren't impressed with anything. And they thought, oh, this is a great band and cool story songs.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Well, I know you have to be careful with reading reviews. You don't want to believe the bad ones and you shouldn't believe the good ones. But I was happy.
Yeah.
Why don't we back up for people who may be new to our conversation and explain who the heck you guys are, how you got together. And what you do?
Well, so, I'm a singer, songwriter, guitar player.
Why are you looking at him? Like, is that
it's
right, Rich?
It's
Am
all
I
true.
All those things?
Yeah.
Yes. You're married.
We're married, yeah. It's going to be, next year it's 20 years we've been together and married for 17.
And you've been in Chicago for 6 years now, right?
Five years.
You just had an anniversary in Chicago.
The 5 year mark.
Yeah. Right, right. Because you moved here in COVID, the beginning of COVID.
Did. Yes, from Los Angeles.
God bless you.
Yeah.
You packed your car and moved here when the rest of the world was housebound.
Yeah.
You ever been sorry you made the trip?
No. It was the best decision. It's so great to be here.
I love Chicago so much. It's
well, it's your home. You were raised here,
and I had a great 18 years in Los Angeles. It was a wonderful place to live too, but coming back here, kind of and getting to experience, especially the summers. There's so many every night. There's block parties. There's so many things. So much music. Such a supportive musician community here too.
That's true. Yeah,
it's just there's wonderful art, architecture. This really has it all.
And great cafes.
Yep.
And You don't have to. I mean, Chicago knows what to do in the summer and in the winter. And
now, you had spent your childhood not even in the States, right?
No. When I was seven, my mom married a Swedish guy, and I grew up in Sweden, in Stockholm.
And learned to speak.
I speak the language. But
she didn't at seven, so she had to learn that when she got to Stockholm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, it's 7 years old.
Yeah.
It's not an easy language either, is it?
No, I guess it's a bit similar to German, but I don't think it's quite as complicated as German, but it was tough.
Yeah. Well, you speak other languages, don't you?
Yeah, my mom was born in Poland, so I was bilingual from when I was born, because my mom spoke Polish. I lived with my grandma, her mother, so she barely spoke English, so we spoke English and Polish in the house, and then we went to Sweden, and then we throw Swedish in there. So,
you had a big trip planned just a few months ago. You were going to be going to India for your day job, and you were going because you were going to be a translator.
Yeah, so
a Swedish translator.
Yeah,
right?
I do have a day job. A lot of musicians do. I know I don't want to talk about it,
but
I do. I'm a Swedish translator and interpreter for the Lions Clubs.
I had no idea when you said I'm a Swedish translator for the Lions Club, and they're having a big convention in India, and I'm going.
It sounds totally confusing, but they're a multinational organization. So 1.4 million members, 200 countries, and they were founded in Chicago. And Swedish is one of the official languages, because I guess when Lions branched out outside of the U.S., Sweden was one of the first countries to sign on.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so.
Because everybody knows the Lions. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with them. But again, when you said I'm going to India for their convention, I was like, what?
Yeah, they have they have meetings. There's an annual convention once a year. So thanks to that, I've gotten to go to Melbourne and Montreal and Boston. Those are the places so far.
But you didn't make it to India because you were packed, you were ready to go, and there was a problem with...
Yeah, if you want to travel to India, really look at your visa documents. If you're in Chicago, maybe go to the consulate, the Indian consulate. Don't do it via the website.
That's what you had done?
Because you have to make sure that if you arrive on a certain date, that you really are supposed to arrive on that date.
Yeah.
And, I was supposed to arrive 2 hours. So it was at 2 a.m., just a little after that date. And they said no. Yeah.
Really?
So it's that date specific?
Super specific.
2 a.m. on
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they ask you lots of questions. They'll ask you, all right, is your family from Pakistan? What's your religion? Where's your mother from? Where's your father from? And there's a lot of questions.
But you were packed. You were ready to go when you found out that there was that little wrinkle.
Yeah.
It was
quite a bummer, too.
Well, we were going to talk to you from India. We had the time difference. We had it down.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Speaking of time, we're going to shut up and let Nikki and Rich do what they do best. But let's try and do a little bit of a mic check first.
Let's see. We will.
That sounds just like a guitar and a voice.
One, two, three.
Okay.
Check.
And you want to... Ooh, okay. Then I'm going to shut up, and what do you guys want to do?
Okay, let's see. We're going to do a tune, Rainbow in the Cloud. This is off of Stories I Only Tell My Friends. One, two, three. Then you
from my heart.
Thank you.
That was fun.
We've never heard you perform that one.
No, I thought we'd give you a new one.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Rainbow in the cloud instead of snowflakes. Those are common.
Please.
Yeah, really.
So what was the inspiration?
Rich.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
Rich.
She had to think a little too long.
No. No, it was Rich, and just like he picks me up. I'm a little bit moody, and so he just has this ability to always pick me up, and that's basically
your blues are good blues, right?
Yeah, he generates a lot of like.
Oh, that's cool.
Happy love songs. And
is it weird for you guys, because he's your drummer, and now he's sitting next to you? I always find that the dynamic when you're in a different position, it's like, okay, you're usually behind me reading my body language, and now we can see each other.
Yeah. This is pretty okay, I think. Yeah, and when we're rehearsing with a band, then of course, then we're just bandmates. There's no like, "Hey, honey," or stuff like that. And sometimes maybe we need to, you know, watch ourselves so there's not too much band talk or strategy talk or whatever. Especially when the record came out and there's like. A lot of stuff with interviews and planning like all these various activities. Then,
besides Rich, the band is made up of
There's Chris Corsell on lead guitar, does most of the lead guitar, and then there's Teddy Myers on keys, and Andy Meersberger isn't on the record, but he's our new bass player. And we've been, I think, since. Spring, since the record came out, he's been our bass player. So we're a five piece.
Nice. But I always say drummers have the best view in the house because they get to see the lead singer.
Well, now you're going back to the conversation we had with Elvis Presley's drummer, DJ Fontana, was a dear friend of ours.
Okay. And I said to him on the radio, man, you have the best you've had for all those years, the best seat in rock and roll history, because you got to see Elvis's butt all those years, you know. And he's like, okay, not that exciting, maybe for you, not for me.
That's what Keith Richards he says about Mick Jagger. He's like, I've seen that wiggling butt for like decades.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. When you get into like a different position, you're like, wait, you're not usually on my left side or my right side or whatever.
One thing that I do try not to do is. In pictures, usually singers will stand in front of the drummer, and then nobody can see the drummer. So I try to stand off to the side a little bit. So I always tell sound engineers, move the mic just a hair.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Because you've played a bunch of shows where people have said, that was a great show. And you're like, I was on stage. I was just playing.
But they didn't see you back there.
Well, that's the drummer's curse sometimes.
Yeah.
But we play with the band most of the time. But we've also, this summer especially, we've played a lot of gigs with just the two of us. So this is actually kind of a common, familiar sort of setup.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Do you play every day at home?
Not every day.
Not every day, but definitely a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have time that you say, this is writing time? We're going to sit down. We're going to write a song.
Yeah. Or do you just go with the inspiration?
No. We're actually
starting to write now.
We've been writing for the last couple of months, but like really diving into it seriously in the last 2 weeks.
But are you disciplined? And here's where I'm going with this. We've had a real interesting interview with Delbert McClinton years ago. And he told us that every day he gets up, takes his son to school, comes home, and then the next 3 hours is him writing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really, really disciplined.
Yeah.
Is that how it works for you too?
Well, I know that if you take too long of a break, then it can be hard to get ideas.
Yeah.
Like you can't think of good words or images. Suddenly your vocabulary is like gone. So it can take a little while to get the antenna going. But I've been doing this for a while, so now I can trust myself that it's going to come. You just have to, I was liking it to you turn on a tap and there's like brown water that's coming out. And it'll clear eventually. You just have to put up with the crap that's happening. But usually lyrics are the most challenging for me, so I try to do those first because they're the hardest. And then
do you ever go back to a song and say, okay, I've got this song, but maybe if I take this verse from this song and combine the two, now we've got something more interesting.
It used to be like that in the past, where, yeah, stuff was laying around and I would pull something and piece things together. I think the most like striking example was a riff that I wrote when I was 17, and I didn't record that song until 20 years later or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So it
everything
found a
in due time.
Yeah, but now it's pretty much like stuff is relatively fresh. Like when I wrote for Stories I Only Tell My Friends, all those songs were done end of 2023 and most of 2024.
The blatant plug light has just gone off. So if people want to get the album, what's it called? Where do they get it? How do they do all that stuff?
It's called Stories I Only Tell My Friends. And you could get it either through my website, NikkiO'Neill.com, or through my Bandcamp page, which is linked. There's a link to it on my website, and it's also on all the streaming platforms. And it's in a couple of record shops in Chicago as well.
I should turn on my own microphone.
Yep.
You're Nikki with two Ks, M-I-K-K-I.
Yeah.
Yes,
Nikki. Yeah.
Two Ks, no waiting.
That's right. Were you playing electric guitar on that cut?
Yes.
I love that.
Although that down, that's Chris.
That's sweet. Yeah. It comes through nice with my headphones on. I'm like, I've got to listen to the CD more with my headphones on. You hear all the different layers.
Yeah, we recorded mostly live.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And it sounds like it has that kind of feeling to
that
it.
That energy.
Thank you. Because I mean, you record albums nowadays. I mean, it's common that you overdub and you layer stuff, and that's all good. There are awesome albums that are done that way. But I wanted to, get it done with a band, all of us playing in one room.
Did we ever tell you, stop me if we did, the Les Paul overdubbing story?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he was famous.
Les told us that after he invented the 8-track tape recorder, he said that was the point at which he and Mary stopped having hit records. We said, why? He said, in the early days when we were doing Sound on Sound, if you got to the fourth layer and you made a mistake, you had to go back to the beginning. So you had that adrenaline. He said, when I invented the 8-track, I knew I could tweak this, I could go on and fool with it. He said, you lost that adrenaline that you got from the performance. And it made a whole difference. And from that day, the next time he had a hit record was with Chet Atkins, which is a wonderful album. If you don't have it, you should get
it. No, I haven't heard it.
Oh, it's wonderful.
But I know your book mentioned his work with Chet Atkins.
Yeah.
That urgency, there is something to it.
And you're also feeding off the other musicians.
Yeah.
I would imagine you've got that energy going. I've never understood like a duet song where you're in California and I'm in New York and we're going to do a duet where you just send me your track and I'll sing over it. I'm like, oh, you can tell.
Yeah.
You can feel it.
So.
Well, the classic example to me of how you can tell, I'm a huge Frank Sinatra fan. I hate Frank Sinatra's duet albums. Why? Because they weren't recorded in the same studio. You listen to Tony Bennett. Every duet album Tony Bennett did was in the same studio with the performer he was singing with.
He was locking eyes with Gaga, and you could feel that. You didn't have to see the video to
there
feel it.
There is a tangible difference.
Did you see the Zen of Bennett documentary?
No.
It's about when he made that last duet album with Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yes, I did see part of that.
Yes.
It was great. And some people he seemed to connect more with than others.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, yeah, he did. That was the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no nonsense.
Speaking of blatant plugs, gig you have coming up at a place that we are brand new to, Evanston Art Makers Outpost. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's very cool. So it's in Evanston. They do visual arts. They have after school classes, field trips, workshops for adults. Then they have artist studios where there's like 10 sculptors, mosaic artists, and people that work there all the time. And then they have this concert series that's going. It's going to go on its fourth season. And it's curated by Valerie Kahn, who's the owner of the Outpost, and Chris Green, his jazz artist, who you should have on your show. He's really great.
What's he play?
Saxophone.
Saxophone.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on Pravda Records, and he came out with a record this year. And then there's another mosaic artist and musician, Anna Soltis. So they all grew up together, and they curate the concert series.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been, Steve Dawson performed there not so long ago, and Nathan Graham, another great singer-songwriter. So we're very stoked and honored that we get to be a part of it.
And that's a week from Sunday, the 15th.
Yeah, Saturday the 15th.
Oh, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday the 15th. And there's also going to be another artist, Naomi Ashley. And she's playing with guitarist John Williams.
Wow,
great,
it's a big show.
Americana singer-songwriter, often at Fitzgerald's. And
by the way, that's John Williams, not WGN's John Williams. That John Williams, the musician, is J-O-N.
Unless John is doing something we're not aware of.
That's true.
So who knows?
Oh, you'd like John's guitar playing. He's very into the country swing and country. He's a fantastic guitarist.
Cool. Is John local?
John is in the Berwyn area as well.
Really?
Yeah.
See, we've got this an amazing, amazing community of musicians in this area.
Yeah. Yeah, Fitzgerald's, that whole Oak Park Berwyn area, there's a lot of cool stuff going on there.
It's in the water there.
Yeah.
It's in the mushrooms.
It might be, totally. But it's going to be, Saturday the 15th. Doors open at 6:45. Then Naomi starts her set at 7, and then we go on with the full band. And there's also DJ Pickled Beats. She does really cool, it's not like DJ music. It's what would you say?
She's been in great records.
Yeah, just great classic records, and
what a fun night.
Yeah, and then there's also, they have sponsors. So there's going to be free beer by Sketchbook Brewing Company and also Mexican food by La Principal, which is a restaurant in Evanston.
Mm-hmm.
So you get all that for your $25 ticket. If you buy it online, which you can do at NikkiO'Neill.com, to on my show's page, and I'll have a link there, or you can pay $30 at the door.
Yeah. Again, full night starting at 6:45 next Saturday night.
Yeah.
Well,
like I said, they do a lot of cool stuff at Art Makers Outpost.
Yeah, I've got to check that out because I was telling you off the air, we've driven by there, and for whatever reason, I thought it was like a school. To me, it was, you take classes there, but it's so much more offering a concert series.
There's field trips. They do things for companies.
One of the cool things they do is they use basically, stuff we would throw away, they turn it into art with kids, with adults. And so 75% of all their supplies or more are
donated stuff.
All donated or just would end up in a landfill. Now it's being turned into beautiful art.
Wow. Yeah,
what kind of stuff do they like to get donated? So if anybody is listening and they would like to donate stuff, what kind of things do they need?
That's good questions. Probably paints, crayons, paper would be a good, but maybe they're scissors and clay.
Fabrics. I think that's kind of the one of they have such creative people there. They can show people you can actually do something with this scrap of
wood, or whatever.
It is.
Wow.
Okay, you've convinced us. We need to get somebody on.
That's true. From Art Makers Outpost in Evanston. Art Makers Outpost in Evanston. And again, you can link to the concert through Nikki's page at Nikki O'Neill.
We're going to do the best thing possible, which is shut up and let you guys do whatever you want to do.
Okay, we're going to play a song called I Just Knew. One, two, three,
I love that. That's a rocking little tune.
Thank you.
That is fun watching you perform.
Is that new?
No, it's off of that record also, but we haven't played it here.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh. It was fun to watch you.
And the acoustic, now that I think of it, yeah, I have heard that, but the acoustic version, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, I was singing. There's a twin guitar solo there, so we were trying to sing the solo. So it sounds kind of lame if I try to do it here.
Oh, that was fun.
That's fun.
So you said earlier that you had written something, riff, when you were 17.
Yeah.
So you always knew this is what you wanted to do with your life? When you were eight, they would say, Nikki, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, let's see. I think, yeah, I was making up songs from when I was like 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that that's not something that kids usually do.
Right.
I've tried to, as a guitar teacher, encourage kids, hey, write a song. This happened to you. And they're like, they get nervous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was something I always loved to do. But I also loved making up stories. So,
you are a great writer.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And you've professionally done quite a bit of writing, too. You've even written for the Tribune, doing some food writing.
Thank you. I've done a bunch of journalistic writing. Mm-hmm. And maybe with writers, people can be, we can be perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like, we have people like Joni Mitchell out there.
Yeah.
You are a great lyricist, though.
Well, thank you.
Really, I'm so impressed with the way you turn a phrase.
Thank you so much. Because I used to be pretty intimidated. When I came to the U.S., I thought that, my English probably isn't good enough to write for American magazines. So it actually took several years of being back here, living here, until I gave it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And then with songwriting, I used to work together with Paul Menser. Was a guy we met at a songwriting workshop, but Carole King's and Jerry Goffin's daughter, Louise Goffin. He came from Idaho and I came in from LA. And the first two records that I did, he wrote most of the lyrics, because I always thought it was so difficult to write. And then with this record, I decided that I'm going to do it myself, just because.
Good.
Yeah.
How did you get to the point where you're able to take something that is a part of you, a personal part of you, but put it together with a hummable riff? That's a real talent.
Well, thank you.
And the song you just did is a classic example of that. I mean, that's an earwig.
Thank you. I think I've always, I'm not a great guitar player. I play guitar well enough that I can, if I picture something for a song, I can do it. Or, as a singer, I didn't want to be helpless and, depend entirely on the band, to get musical ideas across. So I can play guitar, well enough for that. But I was always into, great riffs and hooks, and it might be the music that I grew up listening to, which was super eclectic. I mean, my mom played everything from Al Green to Dinah Washington to Traveling Wilburys, and Chopin, and all sorts of stuff. And even, although I know some people frown upon this, but as a teenager, I was into Kiss, early Kiss. Say what you want. I mean,
you had a wonderful, you had a beautiful post about Ace. I have to say, you wrote about him, and that was really wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's to me, it was they had great hooks, and they had the backing vocals, and they had four different singers, and it's just, it's fun music. It's not deep. Their lyrics are not great, but I was just, I always loved hooks. And and then I got to, later on in life, interview Lamont Dozier, which was, to me, it's like getting a mentoring class with the Beatles or something. And he always talked about how, at Motown, they would talk about these counter melodies and counter riffs and hooks and counter hooks. And I just love that stuff.
Yeah, it spoke to you. Yes.
Yeah.
Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lukowski in the studio with us. And we're going to impose on them.
Yes.
Because we haven't hit Thanksgiving yet.
But
we're getting to that season.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have live performers in studio with us for the next couple weeks, we're going to ask everybody to do some kind of a seasonal-ish song. So what would you guys like to do?
Well, I'll do O Holy Night.
Oh,
yeah.
We're going traditional.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the
soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. All night when Christ was born.
Beautiful.
That was a
whoa,
a goosebump.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow.
You ought to do this for a living.
You know, I honestly have never.
I'd love to.
I haven't listened to all the lyrics again. I'm like tuned into the lyrics, going, "Wow, great choice."
Out of all the possible seasonal songs, what made you decide on that one?
You know, I heard it for the first time when I was a kid in Sweden, and I went to a music school, a music high school, and there was one of the singers, and he sang this in Swedish, and that melody really hit me, the melody and the chord changes.
Now, I'm not asking you to sing it in Swedish.
Can you give us
a line in Swedish?
The title is O Helga Natt. It says, okay. O Helga Natt. And then I don't remember the rest, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do love the chord changes. That's beautiful.
Yeah, they're just so beautiful.
Wow.
So that's why.
So we were talking to you about 8-year-old Nikki. What did she want to be when she grew up? Yeah. I got to ask you, Rich, when you were 8 years old, and they would say, young Rich, what do you want to be? You want to be an engineer, a pilot? Did you say, no, I want to be a drummer?
Yeah, I got into drums. I was 10 years old when I got my first drum.
Uh-huh.
And I was lugging a big old snare drum to the band, you know, the school band thing. And they came to our school one day, the music people.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, here's a list of instruments. What do you want to play? And I'm going down the list, and I was like, they don't have drums. And so I asked them, like, do you have drums on, that's what I'd like to do. And they said, yeah, that's what percussion is. And I said, oh, okay, well, I already learned something. and so I said, sign me up for that. And from that moment on, I've been doing this now for 40 years.
And your family was supportive? I mean, sometimes they go, oh, well, if you go to the garage, you can play your
drums.
They were
super supportive. And
that's cool.
Drums is a loud instrument. It takes a lot of
patience.
Yeah,
that's what I say. You go to the garage or down in the basement.
Yeah. And I was hitting those things hard, and it was not quiet. So,
yeah.
But they never minded. And still to this day, I apologize to them sometimes, and I say, thank you so much, but boy, you must have put up with a lot of stuff. And they said, really? They still say, like, really, we never minded. We just liked hearing you improve, and I think that was so encouraging and great.
Yeah.
Well, and the blatant plug light has started blinking again. You have a number of books out.
I do, yeah. I wrote a series of books called On the Beaten Path, and they explore different genres of music, different styles of drumming, and I highlight some of the drummers that made each of those styles famous, and then I highlight some of the key drum parts that made that drummer famous. So I have a whole series of those books that I did, and they're published through published on Alfred Publishing, Alfred Music. And
can you get them on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get them on Amazon.
But you have an online course, too, on lynda.com.
Yeah, which is now LinkedIn Learning. So there's a video course where I teach beginners how to play drums. And
well, that's so
Lynda
fun.
Became LinkedIn Learning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
See, you're very lucky you had supportive parents. When I was forced to play accordion. My dad would walk the dog every time he would hear the case click, click, and the locks are opening. Oop, 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 let me get the leash. We're out of here. And the dog would go to the door when the dog would hear the click, click of the case opening. Yeah, it would be a blizzard. And they're both like, we're going out. How long are you going to be? I have to do it for an hour, Dad.
Drums was my first choice of instrument.
Really?
And my mom said, no way, too loud.
Yeah.
Because I would bang on the washing machine and whatever, play along to whatever records.
Okay, I'm curious. Rich, you as a drummer, and Nikki, you loving drums, how do you prefer to record? You said that you like to record live, but yeah, with or without a click track?
I like without a click track, but you?
Yeah, I can go either way. Sometimes I generally like to play with a click track and see where my tendencies start to speed up and slow down, because sometimes I just don't know.
Because for uninitiated, the click track kind of keeps you your time. Yeah.
Literally, it's like a metronome, just a...
Yeah. Yeah.
What we do, though, is When usually before the band gets the songs, then we'll work them out together. So I'll sit with a metronome and make sure that I don't rush or speed mm-hmm. up. And then we'll play together so that we're kind of locked in, electric guitar and drums, yeah, before we take it to the band. Mm-hmm.
And then the band always comes up with great ideas, and it all just builds to this, mm-hmm, you know, this beautiful thing that none of us could do alone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But together we make something that's we're really proud of.
Yeah.
And you should be.
Thank you.
But we were having the conversation about a click track with a friend of ours in Florida who is working with an artist who's an extraordinary talent, but she has a real problem working with a click track.
And he wants her to work with it.
Well, then don't make her work with a click track.
Because you can even tell.
Make her do what she's comfortable with.
Listening to some of her demos, you can tell she's in her head, going, oh, am I going too fast? Am I going too slow? Turn the dang thing off.
Well, if you remember the song that he played for us that they did that day with the click track, I could tell she was preoccupied with the click track.
Yeah. No, because it's all about, you have to, like, get in the moment, get inside the song. And if you're not used to play into a click track, then you're going to be all in your head. So either you just have to, you know, practice. Be like, okay, I'm going to, like, get comfortable with this stupid click track.
And then there are other performers that I wish would occasionally use a click track. And the best example I can think of is a guy that I absolutely love, Jerry Lee Lewis. I'm a huge Jerry Lee fan. But if you listen to Jerry Lee's records, all of them wound up about 50 beats faster at the end. Uh-huh. And that was just how he performed.
No, I always thought that he was bored by that time. He's like, let me just hurry up and move, get on with this.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lukowski in studio with us.
We need to oil you, by the way.
Yeah. It's... I tell you, this is the darndest cold.
I know. We only have a few more minutes with them. And again, they're going to be performing next Saturday. Incredibly busy. So we're lucky to get you guys in here on a Saturday night. But folks can follow you on your page. You're very active on Facebook. You keep everybody up to date on your gigs. And in fact, before we get a final song from you, I love what you guys are doing. You're actually traveling around the world through your tummies. You're eating food from around the world.
Around the world in Chicago. Rich came up with the idea. 6 years ago, we lived in L.A. We were bored. We thought, we've seen everything that L.A. has to offer, which is nonsense. It's a metropolis. How can you be bored? It's because you go and you do the same things and you see the same stuff. And he came up with the idea, why don't we explore every country in the world in alphabetical order? The food, for instance, music, culture. And so we've been doing that for 6 years now, and we're on the letter M. So
where did you go Friday?
We're on the country Mali.
Mali, yeah.
And there's a very small Malinese community, so they don't have a restaurant, so we have to go to a Senegalese place. So it's Badouz, which is in Rogers Park. And so it's West African food, and there's a lot of similarities in that region, But of course, every country there is going to say, no, our dish is different than theirs. But we checked out the food of West Africa, I guess, via Senegal.
And you listened to the music on your way to pick up
food. We listened to Ali Farka Touré with Rai Cooter, the album they did. And then
that's
we learned.
That's a cool idea. Yeah,
and Bonnie Raitt played with Ali Farka Touré performed with him.
So what's N? Will that be Nigerian? Or?
Yeah, exactly. But M, so yeah, Malta is next for us.
Oh,
so,
yeah, you don't move on. You just keep looking for the culture and the food.
Yeah, well, you know, especially when it's in the summer, we were performing so much, so there's no time. So it was a long break. But now, you know, with the cooler season, then
Again, you write about it on your Facebook page, which I really enjoyed. Yeah. And so you can kind of vicariously travel around the world with them through your tummy. Yeah. Okay, before we run out of time, you're going to share one more song.
We'll do one more song. This one's called I Wish the Sun Could Shine on Me. And it's a little tip of the hat to people like Memphis Minnie and Rosetta Tharpe, Sister Rosetta Tharpe. So I've got a little melodic break that's kind of a tip of the hat. And otherwise, it's about my days of being broke in New York City. So on to the end.
Wonderful. You come a long way from those days in New York, crapping
you. Yeah, I guess. Though the song, it's also, you know, a lot of all the tunes on the album were written when we had moved to New York. So I kind of let Chicago rub off on me. And I had started teaching at the Old Town School of Folk Music in 2021. So I was just exposed to all these folk songs that they do. They have this thing called Second Half, which they've done since 1957 when the school started, where all the classes, doesn't matter what level you're at, total newbie or advanced, they get together in the auditorium and they sing and strum songs from their songbook. Mm-hmm. And I in Sweden, I mean, I knew of some songs, like We Shall Overcome and What Should We Do with a Drunken Sailor, stuff like that. But there's just so much music that was new to me. And so, and knowing that Sister Rosetta Tharpe was here in Chicago for a while, it just I just let it kind of rub off on me. So, yeah.
If we got our hands on your iPods, what would we hear right now? What are you two listening to?
Well, I've been... You go ahead first.
I listen to a lot of local artists around town. So, like cool. Naomi Ashley is one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's great.
Nathan Graham is another one. I think his music's great. Steve Dawson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... There's a lot of music here, right in our own backyard.
I think we learned about you guys through Steve Dawson.
Okay.
Yeah, I think cool. He was in studio with us, and he had just been somewhere, maybe at the Old Town School.
Okay.
And said, "Do you guys know?" And then all of a sudden, there you were in our right there in our studio.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. I've recently been on a Laura Nero kick and Kate Bush.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just,
that's
yeah.
good.
Not a bad thing at all.
Yeah. And Carole King. I always love Carole King. So, yeah.
Carole King and Joni Mitchell both had a birthday this past week.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that Carole King also.
I was like, whoa. Okay.
And isn't today Bonnie Raitt's birthday?
Yes. And tonight is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah.
And Cyndi Lauper, God bless her. She's being inducted.
So cool.
And Chapel Roan is doing the induction for her.
Okay.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah.
And Chubby Checker's going in. But actually, his induction is unique because he's going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but he said he couldn't make it because he had a gig. So when he was performing at the Arcata Theater, they did his induction there, and that's going to be replayed.
Wow.
Tonight.
You got to love a guy after 60 years. He goes, I got a gig that night. I'm not going to be coming to the show. You know, I don't want to have a bad reputation after, a few years in the business.
Oh, my God.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for
coming
by.
This is so much fun.
Thank you.
It is such a joy to spend time with you. It really is. And again, folks can follow you. You're very active online on Facebook. And we're
Nikki O'Neill. .com
with two K's and
no waiting.
And the album is Stories I Only Tell My Friends. And when you get the CD, you'll be telling your friends about it.
And Rich, people want to get your drum books? Where?
They can go to Amazon or Alfred Music and look for my name or On the Beaten Path.
Awesome. Okay. Again.
New albums or anything you're working on?
We're writing new songs right now.
Oh, good.
So I'm hoping that there's going to be either an EP or a full album.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, those songs barely exist. There's like a couple of them.
But now you do know when the EP or the album is done that you have to come here and do an album release party.
We'll have a party. Yes.
Love to do that.
And if we don't see you before the holidays, have wonderful holidays.
Same to you.
Thanks. Thank you very much for your... We got great feedback from people. Said that was so beautiful. Well, it really was.
Thank you, everybody who's listening. It's such an honor to be on this show and to see you guys.
Thank you, Nikki and Rick.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
Really appreciate it.
Well, we are segueing now into the world of cyberspace.
We haven't talked tech in over a month. We haven't. In fact, the listener said, is Patrick okay? We haven't heard from him in a long time. Well, we were gone for a couple of weeks, and things just happened. And I feel like the year is just zipping right by.
So the question is, Patrick, are you okay?
As okay as normal. By the way, woohoo, and hi.
Hi.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
When was the last time?
It was a month ago.
Yeah.
Right, Patrick?
About a month ago, yeah. I think so.
Are you back from Disney, or are you still there?
We are back from Disney. We actually went after work on Thursday. Joseph didn't have school on Friday, so we figured, well, let's just go to the park for no reason whatsoever.
Good.
Went down, rode one ride, had some ice cream, and then came back home.
Really? Oh, I thought it was like a couple day thing that you're going to do because they're all decked out for the holidays, aren't they, at Disney?
They are. Well, they're getting ready for the holidays, but I think the 12th or the 13th is when they're going to do the official launch. So we're actually going to be going down right before Thanksgiving and trying to stay all day and night because Disney at night during the holidays is absolutely so worth the trip.
I bet.
It's just gorgeous.
Well, the few pictures that you sent from Thursday night, I said, maybe we're going to have to plan a little trip up there come November next year, because I would love to see the place decked out for the holidays.
Now, when did they start the decorations?
Well, they'll decorate for Halloween right now for about a week or two. They're doing the Halloween to Christmas transition. A lot of park is already set up for Christmas, and they're going to be finishing up over the next couple of days. So by the middle of next week, it'll be fully decked out on the holidays.
Okay.
Very nice. That's a great place to go for Thanksgiving, I would think. With a few of your closest friends, right? I bet the place is absolutely
closest friends
crazy.
Walking around with a giant turkey leg.
Yeah, that's right.
And you wouldn't even mind if there was a mouse in the house for Thanksgiving.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Well, we have a lot of ground to cover with you. Should we start with the business about 911? Because I thought that was an interesting story when that broke.
The free satellite texting to 911.
Exactly. This something just happened this week. It was announced. If you have a mobile phone, it can't be a really old mobile phone, but sort of a relatively newish mobile phone, and you end up finding yourself sort of in the middle of nowhere, zero bars, and more importantly, zero Wi-Fi, there is now a way for you to send, absolutely free of charge, emergency text messages to 911 by connecting to SpaceX's satellites and using Starlink. T-Mobile is offering the service to everyone. It's called Text to 911, absolutely free of charge. And listen to this. You don't have to be a T-Mobile subscriber. So if you are using AT&T, you're using Verizon, Boost, Mint, RTC, does not matter what your provider is, you can now send satellite text to 911 messages. Now, again, it's not satellite messages to your best friend or your girlfriend or whatever. This is to a 911 operator. But if you're ever somewhere and it's like, I need emergency help, you can now send it. But it's a little more complicated than just going out and taking your phone and, okay, I'm going to send a text message to a satellite. You've got to sign up first. Absolutely free of charge. I'll give you a website in the show notes. And you also, this isn't going to work on every phone, but your phone has to be able to send satellite text messages. So it's not going to work in phones that already have that built into it. So if you have an iPhone 14 or later, 14, 15, 16, or 17, this isn't for you because you already have that feature with the Apple satellite. So you don't need to worry about this. If you have a Pixel 9 or later, not counting the 9A, you've got Google SOS. You don't need this. But if you have an iPhone 13, a Google Pixel 9A, you have a Samsung Galaxy A14 or later, S21 or later, Z Flip 3 or later, or Z Fold, or any of the big Motorola phones from 2024 or 25, you can sign up for free. If you are a T-Mobile subscriber,
whoops,
Life app.
Well, that's interesting.
It is, because we could tell there was something happening there that was causing him to break up.
Should we blame it on the mouse?
No.
Do we think the mouse chewed through the lines?
Stop.
Blame it on the ghost.
Well, again, don't worry about writing down any of the stuff that Patrick says.
You just read my mind. I was going to say, he said that he was going to have a website for us so you could go and sign up for this free satellite text to 911. And I could just hear people going, wait, I don't have a pen. You don't have to worry about that. Because Patrick, being an educator, he's wonderful about supplying the show notes for us. So within the next few days, we will be posting those for you. So if you hear something interesting this hour, don't worry. You can go back and read it and share it with your friends later on.
Have we achieved Patrick yet?
Yeah.
We've got a Patrick.
All right. I don't know.
Sorry about that. I had to reset my Wi-Fi. I don't know what happened.
That's okay. We were blaming it on the mouse. That's what Steve said.
I blame it on the satellite.
Yes. So now let's clarify this free satellite text to 911. I said to Steve, I guess this is for people who are like hikers and campers and outdoors people who are going to be out and they might get in that dire situation and they realize, wait, I don't have any way to call for help.
So basically, if you're in an area where you wouldn't normally have cell phone service.
any sort of cell phone service or Wi-Fi, you now have the ability to send a text message to 911. Again, it's got to be an emergency message. You're not going to be sending it to,
right. Hey, it's not just Wi-Fi, hi, Patrick.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But you can text to 911. If you're a T-Mobile customer, open up the T-Life app. If not, there is a link in the show notes for it. And then once you sign up, what it's doing is it's going to add to your phone sort of an eSIM, which is this sort of special network that's going to be running. So if you can't connect to your regular wireless network or your cellular network, it's going to then default back to the T-Mobile satellite for 911, only 911 again. And what you can do is then you look at your phone and you say, oh, I'm connected to T-Mobile satellite 911, and you can send your text message then. So you just open up your messaging app, type in, help me, I've fallen and I can't get up. Mm-hmm. And they hopefully will be able to geolocate where you are and come and get you.
That is pretty cool.
But again, this is not for making a phone call.
No. You can sign up for that. Now, that's about $10 or $15 a month. And there is satellite available if you want to pay extra for it. And you don't actually have to be a T-Mobile subscriber for that as well. We talked about that back mm-hmm. in July mm-hmm. when they were demoing it. It's now rolled out. So if you want to sign up for the phone calls, you can do that as well. But really, this is meant as a, I'm in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa. There mm-hmm. are no cell towers anywhere, and I have broken my leg. What mm-hmm. do I do? If I've signed up ahead of time, again, I have to have signed up ahead of time, and I've got an eligible device, I can now send a text message to 911.
I think it's brilliant. If you're a hiker, it would be like a no-brainer. Oh, yeah. You just do that before you go climb a mountain or go up in the forest preserves or whatever. Before we move on to other subjects, a listener, Bob, from Arlington Heights, on the subject of phones, I just throw this out there to see if you've got anything to say about it. He says, I've had the same phone number for 49 years, and now AT&T is telling me that I cannot have my landline unless I pay them $89.95 a month just for my phone.
What?
$90 a month for a landline, because they don't want you to have landlines, right, Patrick? Is that...
Yes, and it is because you have a copper telephone line, they can now charge whatever they want to get you to do that. There is a way for you, maybe, if it may require you to get a little new additional wiring in your home, to switch away from the copper landline to a digital line. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be it's going to require a couple telephone calls.
Mm-hmm.
But you will be able to keep your same phone number,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to keep your telephone line, but you have telephone number, but you have to change your phone
mm-hmm. right.
Phone line. This has actually happened to us at USC, where we had a bunch of copper telephone lines. And Frontier has basically said, well, we don't want to support this anymore. We want you to be on digital lines. And if you want to keep your copper telephone lines, we're going to charge you an absurd amount of money for it. And they want you to stop using copper. The old telephone lines that we used to use when we were kids are gone. It's now mm-hmm. digital.
Hmm.
We did something
in Florida.
But yep. one of the things we had to be aware of, we were able to keep our Florida home phone number, but we had to be aware of, and we've had to tell several companies, no, we don't want their voicemail. We have our own voicemail here at the house that we are able to call.
And you can do that. You
quickly.
Can tell them that you don't want to have their voicemail service.
Yeah, the other thing you can do is contact your local cable company and say, hey, I'm interested in signing up just for telephone. And if you can get cable to your home, then you can port your telephone line over to a digital line provided by your phone, your cable company. That's cable companies are actually very interested in getting mm-hmm. you to do that because people are leaving cable companies.
That's a good call, though. That's an excellent choice. So, Bob, you have options. That's the good news. And speaking of cable, there's just big news for anyone who watches ABC Channel 7 here in Chicago. You see this banner that runs across that, you know, some of you are not going to be able to see your football game or...
they've been running it every night. If we tune into Wheel of Fortune,
yes,
that's the banner. You're not going to be able to see Wheel of Fortune.
You can't see Wheel of Fortune. If you are a YouTube TV subscriber, you are not watching Wheel of Fortune or Monday Night Football. You didn't see Alabama beat LSU tonight. Bullseye. You can't see anything. As a, basically, right before Halloween, it turns out that Disney and YouTube TV kind of had a fight, and because Google and Disney failed to renew their carriage agreement, they kind of stopped carrying all Disney-owned networks. That's ABC, ABC7, ESPN, FX, Freeform, National Geographic, Disney Channels. Those don't appear on any YouTube TV. There are 10 million of us, actually 12, that are kind of going, okay, what do we do? Today, I actually had to watch the Alabama game on an antenna.
Did you run to Best Buy and buy an antenna?
I had one that I keep just in case there's an earthquake. And okay. It's already hooked up. I just said, okay, let's try this. It's like, okay, yeah.
That's
cool. But again, that's just ABC.
Yeah.
The big thing is it's really a money thing. Disney wants to charge YouTube TV more money. And YouTube TV is saying, we've got all these bundles of channels that you're trying to sell us. I don't want all these channels. We really just want ABC and ESPN. Can we do that, please? And that's not going to work. And in fact, YouTube recently in the media said, you know what? We'll make you a side deal. Why don't we just restore ABC and ESPN for now, and we'll let the negotiations continue, and then we'll come back later, which is exactly what YouTube wants in the end. Yeah. So there's no way that's going to happen.
Isn't this a case of two elephants in the room, and which one of them is going to blink first?
That's about it. YouTube is saying it's going to offer subscribers a $20 gift card or $20 discount if the outage drags on. If you need to be watching football tomorrow and it's not going to be on the ABC channel, a digital antenna will get you ABC. It's not going to get you ESPN. Sling does offer day passes. They're $5 a day if you really, really need to have your football. And then you can also switch to another streamer like Hulu Plus, which, by the way, is owned by Disney. ESPN Plus, which is also owned by Disney. DirecTV.
Roku work?
Roku actually does have a service. There's DirecTV Stream. Check out Fubo, F-U-B-O. It's not cheap, but if you're interested in sports, that's the absolute best sports streaming service now that YouTube and Disney are not playing. Hopefully they'll come back together. If not, then I think a lot of us are going to be leaving YouTube TV and looking for something else.
But you cut the cable cord to go to streaming because you didn't like that nonsense. And now you're right back to where, because this is the first time this has happened to streaming, isn't it?
It happened with DirecTV and with Charter back in 2023. Both of those got hit by, really it's about 2 weeks. But this, I think, is, we're coming close to the longest sort of fight that's been going on between two companies. I don't know how they come together.
Well, they could call their legislators and find out how they've been able to get together.
Just let Congress take care of it. That would solve it.
And in fact, I had to chuckle because that whole proposed, you know, let's do this and then down the road we'll be able to settle. I thought, that sounds a lot like politics today. Mm-hmm. Let's do this and then in a year we'll work it out. Yeah, right.
Well, why don't you give us exactly what we're looking for right now and then we'll come back and negotiate later. And it's like, no.
Not so much.
Before we move on, and we have to take a break for news in just a moment, but a listener says, does the 911 work anywhere in the world? I understand that 911 is not outside the United States, but could they alert emergency services elsewhere if you have that free satellite 911 on your phone?
I think the answer is yes.
I don't, possibly. You might need to know what the special number is, because remember, it's 911 here in America, but in other countries, you'll need to know what the emergency number is. Check on the T-Mobile satellite website, and they'll tell you what countries it's available in right now.
You know, because if I'm understanding it correctly, they're saying, okay, we're going to allow your phone to access an emergency
service.
So but I think this, it's
but
just,
the satellite cloud is not covering the entire planet, so you have to know mm-hmm. whether or not a service is available in certain areas.
See, I thought Starlink was pretty.
Because you're thinking about
Starlink pretty much all over the
world.
There are some
countries that are not covered by Starlink yet.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But it's a good question though, because if I was traveling to some remote area. If I'm going on a safari someplace and I'm not going with a tour group, maybe I want to know that there's a way that I can get some help if I get, you know, stranded out in the Serengeti.
Okay.
Hey, Patrick, before we move on talking about the an Apple update, a listener said on this whole business of the free 911, he says... something that could make a complement to the satellite 911 is the app What Three Words. And I just looked up the What Three Words app. It's fascinating.
I know nothing about this.
It divides the world into a grid of 3 by 3 meter squares, with each square assigned a unique three-word address for precise location identification. The app divides the entire world into a grid of 57 trillion 3 by 3 meter squares. Patrick, have you come across this What Three Words app?
I did, and I can't remember what it was for. I think it might have been for something in Pokemon Go.
Of course.
But I have actually used that, and I can't remember why I used it. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. Not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that a lot of emergency responders know about it, but it's a great concept.
Well, they say, in fact, it's not really an emergency service. It helps friends or groups meet at a precise spot in large venues or in parks. It allows for precise delivery to a specific entrance or spot. Emergency responders can use the three-word address to quickly find someone in distress, especially in a remote area, but it's much more than just that. So
just do a search for What Three Words.
What Three Words, and it's the number three. So What Three Words, and the app with the explanation of the app is there. And thanks to our listener for saying you might want to look into it as a complement to the satellite 911. Cool. Okay, so there's some news on the Apple front, right?
Absolutely. We talked about how Apple has released a new version of their macOS and iOS. There's macOS 26, Tahoe, and iOS 26. And they both introduced something, sort of a new look and feel called Liquid Glass. And what it does is it gives all the windows sort of this look and feel that like transparent glass. Every window, every dialog box, every icon, every sidebar, they kind of look like a piece of glass. Not everyone is a fan of that. In fact, I think there might be one person in the air right now
After I did the update on our Mac Air, one of the first things I said to Patrick is,
make it go away.
Okay.
I do not like this.
But it works fine. I work both with Windows and with the Mac. But to me, this looked too Windows-like. That was
very
one of my
Windows
biggest complaints
Vista-like.
To you. And I'm fine with working with Windows. I don't want my Mac to look like Windows.
Fortunately, there is a new version. It's called iOS or macOS 26.1 or iOS 26.1. And they have given you an update that lets you either keep the standard Liquid Glass or turn to a tinted version of Liquid Glass. You can't get rid of the Liquid Glass, but it kind of makes it sort of darker and increases the opacity. What you need to do, you have to update to 26.1. So go to System Settings in the Mac or Settings iOS, go to General and then Software Update. Once you're on 26.1, go to System Settings or Settings and Appearance, and then you can change the glass settings there. I've done it on both of my computers. Honestly, I kind of like the Liquid Glass, so I just wanted to see what it looked like. It's more subtle on macOS and much more pronounced on iOS. So if you don't like the Liquid Glass on iOS and want to tone it down a bit, you should do this. One other reason to upgrade. In 26.1, communication safety and web content filters are turned on by default. Mm-hmm. if you have a child account for any kids between 13 and 17, which is going to make your kids just a little more safer on their iPhones or iPads. So if you've got a Mac or an iPhone, there's another update. Go get it, 26.1, download it. The other thing is, for those of you who are listening to us going, okay, that's great, that's fantastic, I don't have a Mac, and honestly, I don't think I can afford a Mac. Mm-hmm. They're just so expensive. I mean, the cheapest M4 MacBook Air right now is $999. Got good news for you. Apple is working on a low-cost laptop. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not being funny here. Mm-hmm. They want to have a low-cost laptop that can compete on the price tag of a Chromebook.
Wow.
And they're going to say it's going to be powered by an iPhone chip, which is sort of like an M1 type chip, which is fast enough for web browsing and simple document scanning, and probably priced under $700. So
that's
keep
huge.
An eye out for this. This mm-hmm. is big. Early, mid 2026. But if you're looking for a Mac and it's like, I can't afford this and I don't want to get a used one, I want to get a new one, and I kind of like the Chromebooks because of the price, and honestly, just we'll let you know when it's out, but just be aware there's one coming, and it's probably going to be under $700.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
As much as I'm not crazy about the glass look, I love the Mac Air. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic, wonderful computer.
And I have to say that we lucked out because we bought two in 1 year, and we never spent more than $1,300.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got them through on sale at Best Buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In shopping price, I mean, that's the way to do it. I think we then also in purchasing them, we got X number of months of a free Apple Care and all that other good stuff. I'm
signaling for a turn here. Speaking of Windows stuff, if you're still using Windows 10, make sure you have either gone for the Windows 10 extended updates, which in so many cases are absolutely free. I did it on our desktop and on my brother Lee's desktop. Free, not a big deal. You get the updates. Either do that or move to Windows 11. But the point is, you don't want to, if you're going to be online in the world of cyberspace, you want the protection that you get from either Windows 10 extended or Windows 11.
All the bad guys know that Windows 10 is still being used by millions of people who are no longer getting patches, and as new vulnerabilities are found, they're going to be going after those computers. It's just guaranteed.
And so again, you can still work with Windows 10, and you can get updates, and in at least 75% of the cases, you don't have to pay anything.
Well, in fact, a listener writes, obviously this listener is a regular because he says, thank you very much for the Windows 10 end-of-life information. Last time Patrick was on, my PC is not compatible for upgrading to 11, so I had to do something like you. I decided to pay for the additional year of updates until I could decide on a new PC. He said, I was willing to pay the $30, but Patrick mentioned the option of using Microsoft Rewards points. Yep. I was unaware I had them. I had 2,900. And only 1,000 were needed for my 1 year security extension. Yep. Prepared to redeem the 1,000 points, I clicked to apply for the extended security. I was immediately told I was eligible at no extra charge. So, boom, boom, two clicks, easy peasy. Thank you very much, Patrick, for that information.
And that's the exact thing that we did. I was willing to pay the $30. Didn't have to because I had points, and same thing with my brother Lee. So no cost and extended updates. So that's a good thing. This Week in Hacks, Patrick, what do we have?
We have one that nobody is talking about unless you actually work in security, in which case everybody in security is talking about this. The media hasn't caught on to this yet. There is a cybersecurity firm named F5. You don't know about this because you don't need to know about it. And they make something called Big IP devices. That's their brand name. And they're load balancers and security appliances and are used by thousands of major organizations. I mean, like 85% of the Fortune 500. thousands of other major organizations and government agencies. And these are devices that sort of live at the network edge for corporations and governments and things like that. And they handle the internet traffic, VPNs, security, access control. If you've ever logged into your bank, if you've ever gone into a hospital portal or a company VPN, chances are your traffic went through an F5 gear that was brought on to kind of move the traffic around the internet. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Back in 2023, late 2023, it looks like a nation state backed hacking group. People are saying China. We don't know that. Yeah. Maybe. Gained access to F5's internal development systems and stole portions of the source code for Big IP and data about undisclosed vulnerabilities. Now, why does that matter? Why is that scary? And why are all the security guys going? They didn't steal customer data. They stole the blueprints for how these security devices work.
Oops.
So they were able, over the past 2 years,
2 years,
knowing that, to work out all kinds of ways that they could tap into the vulnerabilities.
And all the companies that I know of, all the big ones, are using Big IP devices.
Wow.
Now, to show you how scary this is and why this is something that's causes the hair on the back of my neck to stand up. When a publicly traded company, and F5 is publicly traded, if there's a security breach, the law says you have to disclose within 4 days of you discovering a security breach, you have to tell your shareholders. Mm-hmm. The federal government said to F5, yeah, can you hold off on making this announcement? Because this could endanger national security.
Oh,
we need to have some updates to our government servers before this goes out. So Department of Justice actually asked F5 to, no, don't tell anybody until the federal government had a chance to secure its systems. Now, there's no evidence that hackers have actually done anything to the software, but security teams around the world are going, oh my God, this is bad. This is a supply chain exposure, and they're patching. Has your bank, has your school, has your hospital been hacked? I don't know. I don't think so. But their cybersecurity teams, there are now scanning their logs and patching their systems. And if you tried to get into your bank or your school or your hospital suddenly, and there was this unexpected maintenance window, chances are they were patching it frantically. If there anything that you and I need to do, not really, but if your organization runs any big IP addresses, their IT should be reading the CISO directive 2601 yesterday. I think this may be the start, and other vendors are going to be checking their to see whether or not hackers are in their repositories. So that's the reason why this is scary, is the devices that we use to keep our major network infrastructure safe. Some nation state, we don't know who, has the blueprints for how that works.
For 2 years.
For two years.
For two freaking years they've had this.
This is
mind-boggling to me, the fact that so much is within this one service, this F5. I mean, on paper, that just sounds like somebody would say, you know, this is probably not a good idea. But
it's also, they until this breach, everybody's going, they do really good stuff. I mean, their load balancers are fantastic.
Wow.
But it turns out that, you know, That it's now a point of failure.
Well, that reminds me of what happened, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, when the internet was all abuzz because people were saying, can you get on Amazon? I can't get on Amazon, or I can't get, and you know, fill in the blanks. My Alexa's not working. What's going on in the world? That was very unsettling. Thank goodness it didn't last very long. What was that?
Basically, a domain name service resolution failure hit Amazon Web Services USC East. And Amazon really was supposed to be redundant, but it turned out so many of their systems ended up pointing to this part of Amazon's network that was no longer online. So it took Snapchat, Signal, Fortnite, smart home gadgets. The funny story is there was some smart beds that were folding people into tacos.
No. Would you admit it if that happened to you?
It was just like, and you couldn't, because it had to be connected to the internet to turn it off. So, yeah, this is a true story. It got fixed really quickly, but this is an example of how the cloud isn't magic. It's someone else's computer.
Exactly.
And if that computer dies, it's wrong. I put a link in the show notes. There is a former Microsoft engineer, Dave Plummer, has probably the best explanation of what happened. If you're interested in watching it, it's a 15-minute video, and he's eccentric,
but smart.
But it's just a phenomenal explanation of what's going on.
Speaking of governments and technology, we should talk for a second about ICE. Going to take a look at your social media stuff?
Yeah. Wired actually had a report recently, and I apologize if the internet's starting to cut out, that Immigration and Customs Enforcement is seeking to build a social media monitoring hub that's scanning platforms like Facebook, X, Reddit, TikTok, YouTube. And the contracting records are where Wired kind of discovered this, and ICE is exploring multi-year contracts with about 30 companies, 30 vendors, who could review publicly available social media posts, photos, and other data, including information from commercial law enforcement, even deep web resources, and then put it into a big database which could be used for ICE investigations. Mm. ICE is saying it's really focusing on undocumented immigrants who have committed serious crimes, and they're also looking at domestic terrorists. Agency also knows that their priorities could shift over time. Advocacy groups are kind of saying, you know, I'm not sure ICE looking at social media, this is a good idea. That's a concern. Big thing is this is still in a request for information stage, may not have been funded or implemented. There are some questions that are showing up about how the future program would balance security with, well, the Constitution.
Right.
And data accuracy and oversight. For now, just be aware this is a proposal, just a proposal, but it's an example of how law enforcement and technology are kind of getting married closer and closer, more and more.
Yeah. Well, kudos to Wired for basically bringing that to our attention, because it wasn't on the front page of the papers.
In fact, I'm curious, Patrick, has something changed over the past several years with Wired? And here's why I'm asking. We were fans of Wired for a long time, subscribers for a long time. Then, I want to say started about 10 years or so ago, I became less and less enchanted with some of the things they were doing. But within the past 3 to 5 years, all of a sudden, it seems like they've had kind of a return to the focus that they had when they got started, and they're doing some really good investigative reporting.
They have some amazing reporters, and their long-form stories are great. They are really one of the places that I go every day just to see what is the latest news, and Wired is pretty much on top of it. Mm-hmm. The other one that's really good that not a lot of people get, and it's not free, but Bloomberg. Bloomberg has been phenomenal with tech coverage recently, but Wired and Bloomberg are sort of two of the sites I visit so many times a day. Of course, I'm looking at all my sites. I do. I'm not kidding. Here are the tech blogs that I read every day, or tech sites: 9to5 Mac, Ars Technica, Bleeping Computer, Engadget, Gizmodo, Kakadu, Krebs on Security, Mac Rumors, Pluralistic, which is Cory Doctorow, Mashable, Tech Dirt, Tech Meme, Technology from Bloomberg, The Register, and Tom's Guide.
Wow.
Could you add that to the show notes and we'll put that?
Wow.
Because those are, as you're running down this list, we check out a lot, not every day, but they are right. Some of our go-to yeah. sites. And everyone you mentioned should be on everybody's list.
I use those all the time.
And Patrick says, life? I have no stinking life. Are you kidding? I'm just trying to keep up with the world. Well, we covered a lot of ground. Again, folks are saying, oh, thank you very much for this information. And God bless you, Patrick, for making show notes available because it's midnight and I'm really having a hard time holding a pen, writing notes down. So we really do appreciate it. Yes, thank you. And one listener, George, wanted to know, how is our boy doing? He was very happy at Disney. He was all smiling.
I loved that picture of him.
He was Mr. Smiles.
Yeah, we were in California Adventure and in Cars Land, and he got to stand next to one of the Luigis, and he just was smiled. The other thing is his Halloween costume, he had gone through so many different and in this year, he decided to once again be Sorcerer Mickey. So he had the Mickey Sorcerer hat mm-hmm. and was going door-to-door getting free candy.
I love it. I love it. He's doing great, and I we're counting the days till, Lord willing, that
Christmas
planes will be flying
yeah.
and you guys will be able to make it here for Christmas. I feel for people who are traveling for Thanksgiving. Thank goodness you guys aren't going to Europe over Thanksgiving or to Canada.
No, you're
staying close to home because it's very unnerving for folks that have plans. They're like, how am I going to get to see my family? So, well, anyway, we'll talk to you soon. And meantime, have a great week, Patrick. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Take care.
Time for another edition of Sports Between the Sheets, and no, Gabe is not here, but since Lauren is here, and Lauren shares an affinity for the Chicago White Sox.
Yes. It's our favorite thing.
That's right.
Here is my question, Lauren. Mm-hmm. Where do I go to take care of my baseball withdrawal right now? Everything is football, football, football. Well, yeah, fine, but
maybe just pull up some 2005 highlights, you know. At least that would actually like help the withdrawal and make you happy at the same time.
You know what? You could go back to one of the 7 World Series games this year, because that was a darn good series.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
Even though it wasn't the Sox, it wasn't the Cubs, but one of the best World Series I have ever seen.
I agree. And who doesn't love just good baseball?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, my heart broke for Toronto at the very end. Yeah. I felt so horrible. Oh, my God. All those fans, they were so excited.
And to be at home.
I know.
It's like, that's so wrong.
I know.
And then, meantime, L.A. was burning because they won. Yeah. And you know 90% of the people out there burning down L.A. Didn't even watch the game.
My team won, so let me burn down the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? The only reason I'm okay with it is because Shohei Ohtani is just going to be the greatest baseball player for a very long time.
Yeah.
And will go down in history as, you know, perhaps even the best. So I'm happy for him because he's obviously kind of had a rough end of the deal with the Angels for the past few years and stuff like that. But other than that, I like rooting for the underdog.
Well,
but how lucky we were watching the whole series, and we both had the same thought: how lucky are we to be able to watch Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah,
he is the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's incredible. I will never forget going to a White Sox game, obviously at home when they were playing the Angels. So this was last year, not this year. In a lot of ways, since we were so bad, it was because I wanted to see Shohei Ohtani, and he is just like, oh my gosh, even better in person. It's just, he kind of almost seems like a god when he's standing right in front of you. It is just, I don't know how someone could be that good at something.
Well, I love the fact that he doesn't showboat.
Right.
You know, it's just really rare for him to look up to the sky or pump his fist or something. Like, that just doesn't happen. That's not him. And that's one of the things I really love. Now, you are, I think I was listening the other day to the afternoon show, and they were teasing you about being a Boilermaker fan.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good Saturday for them, right?
No. No. And it's Ohio State, so what do you expect? I mean, maybe 10 years ago when we were considered the Giant Slayers, it would have been possible, because that has happened before where we took down Ohio State, but that's just not who we are anymore. Especially because, for people that don't know, pretty much the entire Purdue football team, like, I'm not kidding, 82, 83 players are all brand new. Like, this is an entirely new program. So I'm honestly, I'm impressed with how they look, all being so new, and many people are so young, like our quarterback and some of our best receivers are sophomores, so that means the future will be promising. But we put up a good fight against Michigan last week, and we didn't really necessarily make it easy for Ohio State today either. But, you know, of course, if you don't watch the game and then you just look at the end score, you're like, okay, Lauren.
Sure. All right. But I had to laugh because when they were teasing you, I think it was Bertrand was teasing you.
Probably.
About your love of the Boilermakers. And I thought, wow. And Steve started the same year that we did, 40 years ago. And back in the day, Lauren, when we were owned by the Tribune, all of the big guys, the guys upstairs, they were from Purdue.
Yeah.
You did not say anything on the air that could be perceived as negative. No way that somebody would be downstairs to say, we don't go there. Seriously. It was funny.
That's hilarious. You know what? I honestly just chalk it up to Steve being jealous since he's a Marquette guy.
Yes, that's true.
And since our Boilermaker basketball team is number one, I think he's just really jealous.
And it's funny because last hour we had Patrick on, and Patrick is like the biggest Alabama fan.
Ooh.
Every now and then he slips in a little Roll Tide, you know, just to get the word out, to brainwash everybody else. And I thought, whew, thank goodness they won today. He had to pull out an antenna to hook it up so he could see the game, but they won, so that's good.
Isn't it funny that, like, we used to hear about them all the time? They always were, like, the legends. They were the best. And they're honestly still really good, you know,
but
football and basketball.
Like,
you don't really hear about them the same way.
No.
We will never forget some of the times that we'd be down in Panama City Beach, and there's a little restaurant that we used to go to.
Oh, yeah.
And they would have a band, and the band would be playing Sweet Home Alabama. And when they got to the chorus, everybody would go, Sweet Home Alabama, Roll Tide, roll!
Oh, I was like, okay, I didn't know that was in the song.
Wow. Yeah, I can say I've never heard that before.
Well, now, thank goodness Gabe got to stay home and celebrate his 40th birthday, and he actually gets to see a noon Bears game, because he oftentimes during Sports Between the Sheets, he says, I'm going to have to watch it recorded, so don't anybody tell me what happened. And his wife likes to give him a hard time and tell him what happened before he gets to watch the game. So what are you thinking about with the Giants later today?
Well, obviously, they're not a good team, so that helps. However, we've played a lot of not very good teams already this year.
Yes.
And while we've won most of them, they were close, and so that makes me nervous. I know Kevin Powell loves to ask a lot, do you finally think the Bears are the real deal? I mean, we've won the five of the last six, right? So that's really good. But because we haven't had a really consistent performance, especially against a good team, I'm still not there. I hate to say it.
I'm right there with you.
And Hamp and OB say it, OB in particular, say it over and over again.
They're the best.
They've been playing these godforsaken teams.
And we say it every week. Even if you don't like sports, listen to Hamp and OB. Yeah. It's great radio.
It's so funny. They really are the best. But you know what's amazing? They could be so much better if they simply stopped it with the penalties. Like, that alone has hurt them so much this year. It's been driving me bananas. but I'm really happy to see what I'm seeing from Caleb Williams. He's like really stepping into his own, especially in some of those really high stress moments, which, you know, that's what he did in college. So you wanted to see that transition.
Yeah.
But obviously we haven't really seen that until this year.
So you're calling it since the Giants are Bears probably will take this one, and it'll look good because, as Ditka used to say, bottom line is the W. If you get that, you don't have to get into the particulars of it. Just, you want to win.
Right. No, I definitely think we'll win, but now that I said it, we probably won't. Because that's just my luck.
No, Lord. I always say, if I had that kind of power, do you think I'd be here in the middle of the night? No, I'd be living a different life.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sports betting all the time.
I have to ask you, have you ever wanted to do sports play-by-play?
Oh, gosh. Play-by-play, that is just... a crazy gift. I don't know how people do that. I love sports, obviously, and I love watching the game and kind of giving feedback and talking about it. But my brain does not work that fast. It could never. I don't know how people do that. I would totally love like sports analysts type mm-hmm. stuff, but I could never do play-by-play.
You did sports here mm-hmm. at WGN when we had the game.
The game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, sports anchor.
And so it's just been one of, I mean, you've always been a sports enthusiast. I mean, since yep. did you play sports in high school?
I was a cheerleader. I know some people don't count that, but
yes, I do.
We were state champs, so it was really more of,
really?
Yeah.
Was that in Orland Park?
Yeah, or? I used to be a gymnast at the time. Mm-hmm. Our gymnastics team was not very good, and our cheerleading team was always winning. So I was like, I would rather win.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. But really, the reason I got into sports was because that's just what I've always done with my family. We get together and we watch sports, like the love for the White Sox and everything. Mm. Everything started young. So when I went to school, obviously, I wanted to go to a Big Ten school, or at least a school that has a really solid sports program. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling homesick. Like the best thing I could do was, you know, throw on a Blackhawks game or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I think this is the direction I got to go.
Yeah.
Because news is depressing, and now I'm here anyways. But what are you going to do?
So some of my favorite sports announcers are some of the female, like yeah. who is Jessica from with the Dodgers.
Yeah, she was doing the World Series.
She's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see more and more are really finding their voice and not just on the sidelines. Because, mm-hmm. You know, it's still to this day, I meet a lot of guys, they don't think I know sports. And it's sad that that's really is still a world we live mm-hmm, in when mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys, I know way more sports than they do.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that things are really starting to change.
Are you and the family still pickleballing?
I haven't pickleballed in a while. I don't know if you heard, I fractured my heel over the summer.
Boy, that took you out for a long
months.
Time.
Yes. So who would have thought that the like biggest chunk of a bone takes so long to heal, but
did you fall?
I jumped from a high spot. I kind of, it was like a rushed jump. I didn't really think about how high up I was. I wasn't wearing shoes. It was on a wooden deck. Happened to be about 4 foot up. So immediately fell on it, did a forward roll. I felt like I was in a video game. Ooh. Went to try and stand up and it was like, nope.
Oh, no. It was crushed?
I couldn't put any pressure on it. So I didn't know what was wrong with it for a while. Because even the next day I went to get an x-ray, it didn't show anything.
Well, that's weird.
Yes. And it also didn't bruise until 48 hours later. So later on that week,
wow.
I had to go to the doctor and I was like, look, I still can't put pressure on my foot at all. Like not even just the heel, nothing on the foot. So now I started to have a bruise that's lining pretty much my foot. If you think about like how your shoe is mm-hmm. like lined up, mm-hmm. it was a bruise like that. So when I saw that doctor, they were like, so that is showing me that the blood is pooling there. So we're going to get an MRI.
Yikes.
The MRI shows that there is a crack in the center of the bone.
Oh.
They call it like an occult fracture. Like bigger bones, they'll be hiding. Cracks can be hiding within them.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah. And then I think it just because, again, it's such a sensitive area, you know, you put all your weight mm-hmm. on your heel. That's part of why it takes so long to heal. But also, the reason I couldn't put pressure on the foot at all is your Achilles is so dependent on the heel. So once I, you know, kind of cracked that, it kind of sent a shockwave to the Achilles.
Yeah.
So then slowly I was like, I think it was like 4 to 6 weeks, I could put some pressure on the toes. But,
wow.
You know, you don't want to be walking around your toes.
But you were literally housebound because
it was, it was brutal. Yeah.
I guess it was like your whole summer.
Yeah. It was.
That's crazy. I just had I had a freakish accident representing the radio station riding a lawnmower.
What?
Yep. It was a lawnmower race. It was a promotion for the sales department.
We were at a racetrack, and it was a really big deal. And so I'm on this lawnmower, and I'm winning. I'm winning.
Of course
I'm like,
you are.
Yes, Jen is coming in number one. And the guy steps out in front of me with the checkered flag.
Oh,
don't know. And when he did, I swerved so as not to hit the man. And when I did, the lawnmower caught on my boot.
Oh, no.
And ripped the top of my boot off. I was wearing combat boots, ankle boots. And it ripped the top of the boot off. When the lawnmower came back up again, by the time I got to the stands to Steve and my family, my foot had swelled out over the boot. So they had to cut the boot off me.
I had to
right?
get Johnny to the emergency room.
Oh, no.
And you're young.
And one of the many things that we learned from that.
Was, and you must take this to heart.
Anytime you're signing anything, if the word death is in the small print,
because,
do not sign that.
Wow. Radio station promotions, they will give you a piece of paper that says, in the event of accident or death, we are not responsible. And I had signed that paper.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So from now on, I look very closely. If there's the word death, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be playing donkey basketball because that was the next thing. No, I'm not walking on the wing of a plane. No, death is in the... No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Sorry, WGN. No. I love you, but I would never die for you.
Yeah. Donkey basketball.
The plane walking thing was interesting because... when they wanted Johnny to do that, and I said, no, I will not let my wife do that. So then
walk
I said, what I do it.
Of a biplane.
And then Johnny said, no, she wouldn't let her husband do it. So we were both saying, no, we're not letting my spouse do that.
They literally left me and went down the hall and said to him, hey, Steve, we got this great idea at the Aaron Water Show. We're thinking. And he said, I don't think Johnny will let me do that. I'm like, dang, we just ask her and she won't do it either. What? What are you people
so
doing?
Then, to cut to the chase, they wound getting
Ed Curran
to do it.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and Ed Curran did it, and he was not happy about that. Because you think it's cool until you get up on a plane.
And you're peeing your pants, yeah.
Yes, and you're strapped.
That's
you're
terrifying.
And you've got a live microphone, Lauren. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
They want you to talk normally while you're on a freaking plane wing.
I hope everyone was ready with the dump button.
Yeah, right. So... remember, words to live by. Anybody gives you a piece of paper, look for the word death. If death is in, no, I'm busy that night. I can't be doing that.
Oh, gosh. Okay, read everything.
That's right.
Good lesson.
Well, it's a pleasure to work with you. We enjoy hearing you in the evening.
Have you had any of Johnny's muffins tonight?
I have not. Julian told me that I should grab some.
I came in
with dinner, so I was like, okay, dessert.
You're going to do great, though, because you're going to go home, and you're going to sleep fast, and you're going to wake up just in time for the Bears game, right?
I hope so. So, I mean, I was kind of, so I did overnights last night as well, and I kind of had YouTube TV on in the background when the games kind of started for college today, and I was woken up by the end of the IU game, and I couldn't be happier, because if anyone thought that the end of the Bears game last week was the greatest thing they've seen all year, I'm telling you, watch the end of that IU Penn State game. It is insane. The IU was literally seconds away from losing their undefeated streak.
Really?
And I bet you they would have fallen quite a bit in the polls, because they're currently two. And it took a receiver just the tips of his toes in the end zone, right on the line, to get a last-second touchdown to save them. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's just been such a pleasure to have you working with us. You're a daytime person, and I don't know how you drew the short straw, but we're happy you did, so we got a chance to chat.
Well, I fractured my ankle, and I was out for a while.
So you said, now I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Yeah, I had to make up a few days. But no, I'm glad. Hey, if I'm going to do it with anyone, I'm glad it's with you guys.
Oh, thank you, Lauren.
Gotcha. It's time of the night when we start going over all the things we didn't get to yet.
Yes, but it's funny. George just texted and said, I've heard several Uncle Bobby moments tonight. Lawnmower races, bowling with the Swirsk, which we talked about in the 9 o'clock hour, shadow of Chuck Swirsky on Groundhog Day. And ironically, my blog posted on our blog page, linked on our Facebook page, is all about the trip I made downtown to Macy's to see how they've decked it out to honor their days as Marshall Fields. And the blog starts with the very last time we were at the Walnut Room at then Marshall Fields was with Bob Collins and his wife, Christine.
Yep.
So it's in the air tonight.
Yep. And if you haven't checked out that blog, you can either link to it through our Facebook page or check out our blog at steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And when you do, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to it. There's no charge, and we don't spam you. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. So we would like you to check that out. And we're starting to do more things with our blog and places like Blue Sky, because Facebook is just getting stranger and stranger and stranger.
And it just makes changes when they're not necessary. Yeah. They did some dumb things in the past week that I don't like changes like that. If it ain't broke, don't go messing with it.
They keep putting things in our feed that we could care less about. Yeah. And there are people that are our friends that we haven't seen for months.
Yeah. Because that's the algorithm of Facebook. Speaking of friends, Lauren's apparently got a whole bunch of friends because they've texted in, oh, it's great hearing her on at night. And, oh, a familiar voice on a weekend midnight show. How cool is that? Thank you, Lauren.
I'm going to signal for a turn here. Joe Cocker, not one of his biggest sellers, but one of my absolute favorite Joe Cocker songs, you can leave your hat on. Joe Cocker now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of
finally,
Saturday night.
As he should have been, because the rules are 25 years from your first successful piece of music. Well, that was a long time ago for Joe Cocker. But
saw Joe Cocker at the Auditorium Theater.
Did you?
Years and years ago. And my recollection is two things. One, great concert. Two, Joe threw up in the back of the stage.
No.
He kind of walked to the back of the...
Ew.
And he was barfing and then walks back.
No.
And they sing some... Yeah.
Did he rinse out of his mouth
I
at
have
least?
No idea.
Ew.
He was just... But he was Joe Cocker.
Was he drunk?
Who knows?
Oh, man.
Have no idea.
But, I'm giving you the icky face, like, ew. Yeah.
I'm a Joe Cocker fan, but that was...
Yeah. That Do you remember who was the opening act for that show?
I'm trying to... because I'm trying to think of some of the concerts that I saw at the Auditorium. Not sure, might have been Buddy Miles Express. In the Buddy Miles Express, they did one of the best... opening numbers
really?
I've ever seen. Do you remember his song, Them Changes?
Yeah.
Okay, if you can imagine the Auditorium Theater stage and the curtain is open and it was three guys and they walk out, and as they're walking out, they start tuning up their instruments, and you're thinking, okay, well, they're just standing there tuning their instruments, and all of a sudden... as their instruments start to get in tune, you realize that they're morphing into Them Changes.
Oh,
and it was such
a cool
beginning to the concert.
Mm. Well, I suspect there were some moments tonight for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony out in Los Angeles. Joe Cocker was one of the performers that was recognized. Cyndi Lauper was recognized.
Yeah, and long overdue.
Avril Lavigne performed with her, and Chapel Roan was there, which I thought was a perfect match for Cyndi Lauper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just tickled for her, too, that she was finally inducted. Bad Company was inducted. I was happy about that.
Chubby Checker, who was actually inducted when he was here at the Arcata Theater.
I love the fact that Chubby, who's been performing for, well, over 60 years, he had a gig tonight. He said, I can't make it. I have a gig booked. I can't cancel on them. So when he was at the Arcata Theater with Ron Onesti, they figured out, well, we could just give him his award here, present it to him, record it, send it to them for the stage.
I'm going to be curious to see a replay of the Hall of Fame to see if they just showed the
Ron presenting him with his award, and then he talks about being recognized. And, yeah, he should have been in whether or not you like Chubby Checker's music, he should have been in there a long time ago.
I really like this group, but I'm surprised that they were inducted. The White Stripes. I love the White Stripes.
Yeah, and in fact,
but
Jack White.
How does that
I don't know.
Go along with the timeline?
I don't know. Jack White gave a great speech. I just read a little bit of it where he recognized the city of Detroit. and really made it very personal. Soundgarden was also mm-hmm. recognized. Outkast was recognized. Mm-hmm. Musical Influence Awards went to Salt-N-Pepa and Warren Zevon. He should have been in a long time ago.
Yeah, long, long time. And a lady that we haven't had on the show in too long a time, Carol Kay, went in, is musical excellence. Carol Kay, you may not know the name, but you have some Carol Kay records in your collection because she played bass on everything.
Well, story goes that Carol Kay rejected her award because she felt that it was not recognizing all of the musicians mm-hmm. like her, because she was, yes, she was a great musician and played on probably thousands of records.
Everything from the Beach Boys to Frank Sinatra to Elvis.
But she said,
Elvis,
we were a collaborative studio group mm-hmm. of musicians, and she didn't feel it was right.
She was part of that group called The Wrecking Crew. And if you get a chance, check out Carol's Facebook page. She is very, very, very opinionated.
Oh, yeah. In fact, she did not like the name Wrecking Crew, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we should get her back on the show and let her talk about her decision.
You got her to autograph her autobiography.
For you, yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And she is one of the few people, she keeps copious session logs for every session she's ever done with anybody. So she can say, oh, yeah, back in 1962, yeah, the people that were, that was Glenn Campbell and that was so-and-so.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. I would like to see the Elton John tribute to Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be...
I think HBO probably will have the edited version, and we have to record that.
So I...
By the way, get your dialing fingers ready, because moments from now you will be able to call in, and if you are our last caller... You will win some goodies if you dial 312-981-7200, so get your dialing fingers ready. But you were about to say...
I was just checking here to see if there were any...
moments?
Oopsies. Any moments in the induction ceremony. Yeah, I'm thinking there had to be. You're right. But I had more fun looking at the fashion, the things that people were wearing on the red carpet as they were going into the induction ceremony. Who were we talking... Oh... I just, in my head, I answered my own question. It's very expensive if you want to go to the induction ceremony.
I remember,
if you're being inducted, you have to pay.
Yeah.
Remember?
We were talking with Dickie Harrell.
Of the Blue Caps.
Dickie Harrell, Gene Vincent's drummer. He's the one that actually did the scream on Bebopalula. And when the Blue Caps were inducted... if they were going to go there, they had to pay their own way.
And it was thousands.
How many things are wrong with that?
Wasn't it thousands?
I want to say it was $2,000 per person.
Yeah. And that's the first I'd ever heard about that. It's kind of like learning that to get a star on the Walk of Fame out in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
you pay for that.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't. Your fan club pays for it or your studio or whatever. And I thought... Really? I just, thought that was a freebie nod. What do I know?
Au contraire.
No. So, is that on our list of things that we had to cover tonight? Because I know we have a long list of things that we needed to get to.
We didn't get to, but remind me, next week we will get to the Mary medical update.
Oh,
we didn't
yes.
get to that. But there are a couple Mary medical things that we need.
Oh, I'll just quickly say that this has been a most interesting summer for me, medically speaking. And I've experienced a number of things that in sharing it with friends and family, they went, what? Why?
And that's a tease. That's a reason to listen next week.
Yes.
And we will find out what that what
is all
referring
good.
To.
All good. I'll just tell you that. It's nothing to be concerned about.
Is that Brett Jackson on the Zamboni?
Yes, he dusted off the Zamboni.
And the light is flashing blue. And
he has no idea why he's on the Zamboni.
Yeah, but he's just sitting there and he's noshing on a...
on a muffin?
A snack. And if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And you don't have to have anything pithy to say.
No, you can talk about your week, your day, whether or not the Bears are going to win or lose. Walking on an airplane wing, if that's you. If you've listened tonight and said, oh, wow, I've done that before.
Yeah.
You can share that with us. As we say, you don't have to be sharing us anything earth-shattering or pithy. Just stop by, say hi, and if you haven't won anything from this radio station in the last 2 months or the last 60 days, whichever comes first, you would be eligible for something nifty from our prize closet.
By the way, we should mention that next week we will start at, rumor has it, 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And joining us in studio next week will be Erica Brett and Josh Solomon from The Empty Pockets with a live in-studio performance.
And they have just wrapped up their final Al Stewart tour all over
and
Europe.
And they will have tales to tell. They did another recording at the Abbey Road Studios.
Yep. And they've got a huge, I'm so tickled that we were able to get them in studio because they are busy until the end of the year doing their Christmas touring. And a lot of those gigs are in this area. And we just got lucky, and they're off on Saturday night. Yeah. So they're going to be here with us.
When we start at 9:30. And also joining us next week, the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. We will talk about all things automotive.
And a listener asked via text earlier tonight, with Thanksgiving right around the corner, would we be having Muriel Anderson on the show? Well, 2 weeks from tonight, we will have finger-styled guitarist Muriel Anderson, who will be coming home for her homecoming concert out in Downers Grove the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So the Saturday before Thanksgiving, she's coming in early just to do our show that night.
Yeah.
So we're tickled.
We should, let's see, it's been...
Do we let Julian choose since it's been a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. So, Julian, you get to pick the last caller.
Yes.
Okay, picking last caller. Well, let's see. It is...
Well, you got little pieces of paper. Just draw a piece of paper with a number on it. Those are big pieces of paper.
Yeah, I have four pieces of paper, so you know what? Let's go with caller number four.
All right.
Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Mundelein.
Well, Diane, you sound like you're wide awake.
Unfortunately, I am, but I was interested in listening to the radio tonight while I was finishing cooking in the kitchen.
Oh, well, good.
And what were you cooking?
I had a piece of chicken that said... sell by today's date, so I thought I'd put that in the oven, and I'll make chicken soup with it tomorrow.
Honest to God, I did that last week. She says, why are you cooking? I said, because the sell-by date is today.
Yeah.
I've got to get this done. And it was chicken. Yep.
I didn't know if it could wait till tomorrow, but I thought, I'll cook it tonight and make the chicken soup tomorrow.
Are you going to make chicken noodle, chicken rice? What kind of chicken soup?
Probably chicken rice.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a wonderful, warm, cozy meal for what is going to be a nasty, snowy Sunday night.
Yeah.
Now, you bring up an interesting point as well. I went to one of the big box stores tonight, and I picked up some daffodils on sale, on clearance. Do you think I'll be able to get those in?
I'm not sure. Well, I think if you did it tomorrow, you will, because the ground is still soft enough. And I know out here on Michigan Avenue on Saturday, they had dozens of guys out there planting all of the tulip bulbs for next spring. So I think if you wait, your ground is going to get too hard. One of the good things we have in our favor is when it snows on Sunday night and Monday, the ground is still warm enough. A lot of it should melt, fingers crossed, hoping. But we'll see. But you picked up daffodils on sale.
On clearance.
Yeah. It breaks my heart when you go into a store and at like Home Depot and Lowe's about this time of the year, you'll see dumpsters where they've just taken them. Like, oh no, I don't want to see those poor plants in a big dumpster.
Are you normally up at this time of the morning?
Yeah, yes, I normally am. I'm either going to bed or I'm getting up.
Yeah.
You just a night person?
Actually, a caregiver.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you have to be flexible.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right, Johnny. I have to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Not easy.
Very nice to hear Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah. It was we were tickled that we had somebody from the day to stop by at night.
Yeah.
So you listen to the station on a regular basis because you would know her from afternoons, right?
Yes. Yes. I go back and forth between TV and the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, then you also know, if you listen during the day, you also know that this coming week we're losing a longtime member of the WGN family. Steve Bertrand has decided that he wants to have a life after the 40-some-odd years that he's been here, and we're going to miss him.
I have to tell you, I was really heartbroken when he made that announcement, because I remember when he started with the station, it wasn't that I was listening to the radio, but I remember my parents talking about Steve, how impressed they were with
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
When he first started. So it was sort of like a tie to my parents.
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I feel about this radio, the whole radio station. I mean, when I was a kid, I've often joked about the fact that I still have the clock radio that my mother, in her haste of, oh, they just gave the phone number, she grabbed a pen and she wrote it on the top of the radio. And she was horrified that she did that and told me, you don't ever do that. But, you know, Wally never gives the phone number. And when he did, she had to write it down someplace. And I thought, oh, man, I got to work with him. That's amazing. It's kind of a pinch me. How did that happen?
And when I was growing up, my dad always used to listen to the Cubs games on this radio station. And one of the real kicks for me was years ago when Johnny and I were doing a Sunday afternoon show. And my dad was up from Florida. And we brought him into the radio station and had him on the air with us.
Yeah, yeah. So I get it. And I just hope that Steve is going to be able to travel because that's his other passion with his travel agency and that his health allows him to do all the things that he wants to do.
Yes, yes. He's very fortunate that he's able to retire at a young age and that he can still enjoy life. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I hope you have an enjoyable Sunday. Anything other than making your chicken soup you've got planned today?
Oh, and getting those bulbs in the ground and the leaves. Oh, my gosh. Does it end?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of coming around to the... I'm just going to let nature take its course with the leaves. I haven't felt good for the past 2 weeks, so I have not kept up on it. So I'm thinking there are probably people that I could pay to come take care of my leaves.
And I'm not just saying this because I don't like to rake leaves, but I've always loved to look out and see leaves covering everything. I love it.
Oh, that's funny, Steve.
Yeah, because our neighbors do not love it, because ours is the tree that's shedding all over their yard, and they're like, okay,
but,
kids.
But the past 2 weeks have been the weeks when the leaves just burst in
out it's been
of
gorgeous.
Colors. It's been, extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah. I was downtown on Thursday. I could not believe how beautiful along the lake the trees were just... Of course, it was a sunny day, and it was just... It would hurt your eyes. It was just so golden and orange and gorgeous, and... We got to look for those good things in life, don't we? You know?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, something as simple as a leaf turning. Well, it has been a pleasure talking with you, Diane.
And Thank you for being the icing on our cake.
Yes, yes, the cherry on top of 5 hours, and we're going to send you an official WGN T-shirt.
So hold on, and Julian will get some information from you off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And our thanks to...
Well, we had Brett Jackson in here tonight instead of the keeper of the big plug, Bob Fukuda. Knowing and Bobby's probably up because he is a night owl.
And our thanks to Brett and to Ron Brown
and to
Lauren. It's always fun to work with Lauren.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And we'll be back here next week, half hour later, 9:30 start time because of a Blackhawks game. And the Empty Pockets will be joining us. And
for a live in studio performance, and also Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And please don't forget to check out our blog, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we had a couple of texts from people say, well, how do I get to the blog? I thought we said it a few times, but again, you know, you might have walked out of the room when we did. Yeah. So I'll cut you some slack.
I guess we are running out of time, so I will run out of words and say thank you for hanging out with us. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.